about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Captain, normal Starfleet channel has nothing on it but static. I'm getting something on another frequency, but it's not Starfleet.
Put it on audio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Kevin, are you on crack?
Oh, anyone who catches the monkey man, there's a $50,000 reward.
Chuck, actually, no, it's 50,000 rupees. It's in Indian money.
The heck you said?
What does that work out to be in English?
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
How come y'all won't just leave a brother alone? Even if he did do it, so what? It happened. Let it go.
And now,
I want you both to listen to me, okay? I know why you're here, so don't BS a BSer, okay? Your presence here, court ordered.
Why did you put presence in quotes? You implying that we're not here?
Our feature presentation.
I love that movie so much.
Role models, right?
Role models.
So good. That little kid, I think he's in a commercial now.
Is he?
Yes. I think so, yeah. He's great.
Smart-ass kid.
Yep.
And, of course, Jay Lynch, who's on Glee. She was in that. She was fantastic.
Yeah. You white, you Ben Affleck.
That's right. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Thursday morning. And now, Bean's Death Corner.
No? First of all, nobody died. Well, I guess technically somebody died in this story then.
Oh, my God.
Nobody Bean, actually.
You busted him.
Bean really does love human death.
I do love death. It is true. Death is awesome. and I'll be joining them soon, the way it's going. But listen. Nobody died specifically in this story, but it does involve people who are dead. And maybe you guys saw this story. Did you see the Southwest Airlines story yesterday about the guy who's in the cargo hold of Southwest Airlines? And it's unclear. This is the part I haven't been able to figure out. Why he decided to open some packages that were in the cargo hold?
No.
I saw one report
that said they may have been improperly labeled, but I don't know what would cause the guy to open them up. But when he did, he found in the box that was being transported on a plane to Fort Worth, Texas, between 50 and 60 human heads.
Skulls? Were they skulls?
No, they were human heads.
Oh, maybe he smelled
First of all, why
something.
Was he in the cargo area?
Well,
was he working
there.
For Southwest?
Yeah, he works for Southwest.
Oh, I see.
Right. So between 50, did I mention, between 50 and 60 human heads.
50? That's a
Apparently,
oh,
they were.
Dead.
Apparently, they were en route to a Fort Worth-based company called Medtronic for medical research, and
really?
A lot of confusion about this story. About I guess there's a fee that they're supposed to that you're supposed to pay. There's an extra fee that gets paid to the airlines if human
for
body parts
severed
if,
heads.
If human body parts are being transported, there's special handling and special fees.
Well, shouldn't they be on ice for one thing?
Yeah, you know, I'm dying for more details. You know, I'd love video if anyone has it. If anyone's
sure.
out there,
I'm sure there's a lot of video.
Yeah, if you were in that cargo hold there and you've got a flip camera or something, send me video. I want to see these human heads. I don't know what kind of condition they were in, but they were being sent to a place for medical research. And apparently, you know, it's very common. It's a big business in that, but it's also illegal beyond certain channels to transport bodies like this,
right?
Or to sell. Or buy human body parts, too. So there are a lot of questions right now. So the human heads were taken off the plane and are being held right now in Little Rock while the investigation continues. So you got some guy in Dallas waiting for a shipment of 50 human heads.
See,
and he's still waiting.
See, I don't check those. Those are carry-on, strictly carry-on.
Whatever you have to fly with a human head?
Yeah. You can't really trust the TSA that those are going to get there.
And it
All
is
right.
funny, by the way, that the very first thing I thought when I heard about the human heads was, well, there must be some sort of soccer tournament going on.
Really?
Setting it to
some
poor country or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
That's what they
But
use.
Anyway, that is probably a day that the Southwest Airlines employee will not soon forget. I mean, you probably see a lot of interesting things in that line of work.
Sure.
But, you know, people transporting lions and things like that on a plane. But you don't. I don't think you expect to... to open a box and see 50 to 60 human heads.
Not just for that job. I mean, I really think nowhere in society do you expect that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. That seems extreme.
You know, Lisa May.
Yeah. This is Gene Simmons.
Hi, Gene.
Oh, hi, Gene Simmons from Kiss. What's going on?
You mentioned putting a head in a box.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Any more of that?
All right, Gene. I'll give you a break for that.
1-800-520-1067. Why not call us now, get on the air, and get a free Kevin and Bean t-shirt. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What to do, nephew?
What to do, nephew?
Why don't we start with our boy, Cruz. He is on line 4 calling us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Cruz. Welcome to the program. What's going on?
Good morning. What do you do, baby boo?
What do you do?
What do you do, by the way?
Hey, game 7, guys, Lakers.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Game 7s are just fascinating to me. I think Bean was pointing out off the air yesterday, you know, you got a whole season of play, and then you've got a series, and then it all comes down to one game, and then it's all going to come down to one quarter, 1 minute. That's just, that kind of pressure is unbelievable.
Is it too much stress for you?
No, I love it.
Okay, good.
It's too much for you, Mike?
Yep, yeah. I'm already nervous.
I'm nervous too, but I love it.
Yeah, I think it's going to probably be close at the end, and I just hope the Lakers can pull it out.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
There are a few things worse than winning whatever sport you're in on other people's ice. You know what I mean? Like when the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, they were in Philadelphia.
So yeah.
All the people in Philadelphia didn't want to sit there and watch him carry the trophy around and make the announcement. They were not excited about it, and they were bummed, and it's just not fun.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. Certainly not what the players want. The players want to win it at home if they can. But it's funny. I don't know what the percentages are on this, but it seems to me, just anecdotally, that more often it happens that you win on the road. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
By the way, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Cruz. They're all over the news today, and they're doing everything they can to try to prevent the riots, quote unquote, the little riots, small r, from last year, where cars got turned over and there were all sorts of fights and people got arrested and there was looting.
I'm planning on getting a TV. Is that still
cool? That's what you do. That's what you do in this situation. You're planning on getting a TV. But I don't know if you saw the mayor. The mayor was on TV yesterday saying, "Hey, don't make the town, don't make the town look bad. You know, you can party, but do it peacefully." You know, they got those giant, those huge Diamond Vision screens down there by Staples Center. Well, they're turning those off tonight. They don't want people, coming down that don't have tickets. Yeah, that's the last thing they want.
They used to show it on the outside. And then everybody would congregate down there and then just be excited and go crazy.
And they also adopted a new tactic, and I feel so bad for the LAPD.
But
the new thing they just started during the playoffs is they got them all on Segways when you come out of the
dorks.
Game. Yeah, and it's like 40 cops in this like diamond formation riding Segways. And it just you could see the look on their face like, oh, man, I didn't sign up for this.
They might be useful, but you do not look imposing when you're on one.
And you're like, you think to yourself, I went to the academy. I did all this stuff, so I have to ride a
Segway. Put them on horseback. Horses are a little, that's a little off-putting.
And how manly do you look?
Yeah.
You look manly, and it's much more difficult for somebody to get to you if you're up on a horse.
Yeah, you're a nerd on a Segway.
And you have a 1,500-pound swole animal to kick people around with.
And you can call everyone you know and say, I'm on a horse.
That's true.
Yeah, which you can't do on a Segway. No one calls and says, I'm on a Segway.
Yeah, you're right.
Why didn't that Segway thing take off, by the way? It's a great idea and, by all accounts, a great product.
I don't know, but I've seen a bunch of different venues where the security used them. Like, that's where it seems to have
taken
off.
You're thinking of Paul Blart to a mall cop.
No, Kevin. I'm not. Yeah, well, that was one, yeah. All right, let's go to Damien. Hi, Damien.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
I want to talk about that Strike Force event last night. It was pretty crazy, man.
That's the one we were talking to Frank Shamrock about?
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, man, Robbie Lawler took a kick to the rib, and he was done for the night, man.
Oh, did he break his rib?
Yeah, I left that right after the fight, but through the whole second round, you seen Babalu's footprint.
Oh, that's
on his
sweet.
Rib. It was bad.
You see it, Dave?
Yeah.
King of Mexico?
Yeah, he bruised up. I think he broke his ribs, but it was with a couple of kicks to the left side of the chest, of the rib cage.
Uh-huh.
And it was a nice, gnarly bruise. But overall, the fights were pretty boring.
Lackluster?
Were they boring?
Yeah, I mean.
Did you like the other fights, Damien?
The one that I could say was good was the one where Cyborg won. He got a clean shot on him. But what was funny about it was his wife Chris Cyborg picked his ass up, like, at the end. It was funny.
Yeah, his wife, Chris Cyborg, is the champion of the women's division, the 145 pounds. And she's the one that beat up Gina Carano pretty bad.
Oh, I don't like
her. And it's funny because it's this big guy. He's like, yeah, I just knocked this dude out. And his chick just comes and lifts him up above her head and carrying him around. He's like, yeah.
That's funny.
So,
for like a good minute, too, he's walking around with
I love that.
Yeah, she carried him. It looked pretty funny. That was probably the highlight of the night.
Do you think he was going, put me down, put me down. This makes me look lame. Put me down.
Oh, no, he embraced it.
It might have been even lamer than riding out of there on a Segway.
Yeah, well.
When you think about it.
Yeah. Less manly.
All right, good times. Thank you very much for the call, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Dave. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, everybody here is thinking, you know what? This guy's drunk. But you're right.
We have a new internet roundup for you.
Oh, so many good things today.
Today's Kevin and Bean Show. Is it okay to send and or receive texts while having sex?
No.
Not sexting. Not talking sex. But just random.
While you're actively engaged.
Yes.
No.
Apparently it is. To a certain percentage of people.
Oh, my God.
So
Lisa,
we'll talk about that.
Maybe you better be working a little harder if you'd like people to be more focused on what you're doing. You ever think about that? Ever think it's on you?
That's true. Maybe it's the partner's fault.
Like, that's right.
Whoever takes the text is bored.
Well,
if the text
possible.
Is, if the text is, you're not going to believe how lame this is, then maybe it's on you.
We're going to talk about super sexy CPR, which is really the only way to learn CPR.
Absolutely.
I think it would actually probably be the best way to learn CPR.
That's what I'm saying. We also have Dr. Drew because it's Thursday. Mm-hmm. We have him on every Thursday. We have comedian Bill Burr.
He's very funny.
Very funny. We had him at the April Foolishness, and he killed.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about a four-year-old that did 1,500 push-ups. 1,500. Four.
That's ridiculous.
Seems like a lot.
Mike, how many have you done? You've done a lot.
It, without stopping?
Yeah.
My record's 93.
93 is a... I mean, if you've never tried to do, correct push-ups...
My record is two.
Yeah, that's... It's really difficult.
Wow.
But this little four-year-old kick your ass.
He served me.
Yeah. We also have Jimmy Kimmel on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about his after-the-game specials.
Okay.
And his Papa Shot champion.
That guy's amazing.
I don't know if you've seen that, but there's a bus boy from Barney's Beanery that can do Papa Shot, which is that little, in the arcades, it's those little baskets that they shoot on.
Mm-hmm.
And he beat Charles Barkley, and he beat Kobe, and he beat LeBron James. And he didn't just beat him, he almost doubled their scores.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Carmelo Anthony. It's just, I don't know how they found this guy or what his deal is.
He's a robot.
Yeah, gotta play Papa Shot. Gotta play Papa Shot. He probably spends all day doing it, but he's just unbelievable. And you keep seeing these superstar NBA players, and you go, he's not gonna beat Kobe. No way can he beat LeBron. I mean, just every one of them, you don't believe it, and then he serves them.
Does it.
I think that's what makes it interesting, is he's going up against huge NBA stars, but he has so much more experience with that size ball, that being that far
right,
from
I
the
agree.
Hoop.
I agree.
So, I mean, he definitely has an advantage. But you would think that the pros, with their eye-hand coordination, you know, would just be able to sink anything. I mean, you'd think that the Kobe Bryant could hit a, you know, hit a, throw paper into a trash can from 80 feet, you know, because he's just got that. He can do the math in his head.
Well, those guys get 40 to 50 points, which is really good on Papa Shot until he gets 80.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's amazing.
Wow, I didn't realize that was so bad.
I mean, he's getting way more than a basket a second, Lisa.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Jimmy about his special tonight.
Okay.
And we're going to come back with the Showbiz Beat right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
This is The Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. Ralph Garman's on vacation this week, so we are taking over on the Showbiz Beat. You know, we were talking to Harvey Levin yesterday from TMZ.com, and he was talking about how much admiration he has for Katherine Jackson, Michael's mom.
Right.
And she's got it pretty tough. She's got, how old is she, Lisa? She's got to be in her 70s, right?
Oh, yeah.
Got to be.
I'd
I mean, Michael Jackson
late
was
70s.
Michael Jackson was 50, so yeah, she's got to be well into her 70s. And she's the one who's kind of taken over looking out after Michael Jackson's kids. And I've always gotten the impression that Michael Jackson was so big and so rich and so famous that the entire extended family was living off of him. Don't you get that feeling? That
none
of the brothers had to work. I mean, you know, Janet obviously makes her own money, but pretty much everybody else just lives off Michael Jackson. And I saw this story on TMZ today that Jermaine Jackson's ex, Alejandra, who has four children, Your Majesty and Jafar, who, by the way, great names, both fathered by Jermaine Jackson. Dante and Randy Jr., both fathered by Randy Jackson, one of the other Jackson brothers. So she got four kids, two by two of Michael's brothers each, right? She's living in the house with all those kids and Katherine Jackson and Michael Jackson's kids.
Wow.
And Katherine Jackson is like, hey, enough already. You've got to move out. This Alejandra woman, who's probably had a free ride forever since she lucked into marrying the Jackson family, is not only saying no, she won't move out, even though she's being offered a condo that Michael Jackson owns nearby, she's lawyering up and may sue.
What?
What the hell is going on here? How crazy is this?
I am shocked.
That is shocking.
Yeah, it really is.
Catherine says she cares deeply for her grandchildren. She's not going to be held hostage by someone who does not have a legal claim. Apparently, Jermaine owes her back child support. Catherine says not her problem. And Catherine also says, hey, I'm living on an allowance. I can't afford to pay off everybody in the world and have everybody in the world live with me. So I don't know what a mess that is, though. But you get the impression that these people, though, they just feel like Michael Jackson is their free ride for life.
I'd like some of his money.
Well, how much money did he really have at the end?
I don't know. But it's changed a lot since he died. He sold so much catalog.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how much he has or had.
He's got lots now.
There's enough that people want it try to elbow their way in to get it.
And things like This Is It come out, like Kevin said, after his death and, you know, were huge moneymakers.
Yeah.
A couple of stories about Twilight. One, Rob Pattinson is known for his sensitivity and smoky looks, this says. But can throw down when the situation warrants. The Twilight stud muffin told the website that he got into a fist fight with a dude a few years ago.
No!
That's what I'm saying.
I find that hard to believe.
You liar!
He's ever fought someone in his life.
I can't imagine.
Although a young lady kicked off the altercation, Rob says it was more about pride than true love. So he knocked the dude out. Yeah. Rob Pattinson.
All
and
right.
We're saying that didn't happen.
He does seem a little bit flimsy to be getting into a fist fight.
And Kristen Stewart continues her PR campaign to make sure that we all hate her. She seems to have a glamorous life, but she says she's actually just a boring old woman in a 20-year-old body.
I believe her.
I can second that.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a boring old woman when she's on screen or on, you know, movies or TV.
She says that she spends most of her time with her pet cat, and it's only a few years until she officially becomes a crazy cat lady. I'm going to suggest she's already a crazy cat lady.
You know, if you're an actress, you don't have to be some exciting fabulous person. But if you're a boring old lady, just shut up.
I agree.
Just be quiet.
Just keep that to
and
yourself.
Do your work. And
she's amazing in how boring she is. A lot of people are boring and they're just low energy.
Right.
She actually sucks energy out of places.
She is the black hole of energy.
She is a destroyer of energy and fun.
She shouldn't go on award shows. That's for sure.
Ever. She should never be anywhere where she's not reading from a script.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, she's not particularly gifted at that either.
No. I agree.
Here's a great story. Police in Maryland called to a bar this week because they heard from more than one person that Justin Bieber was inside drinking. Now, he's 16 years old, so that would be illegal. So the police showed up to investigate this claim. They take that sort of thing very seriously. Turned out it wasn't Justin Bieber at all. It was just a woman who looked just like him.
A woman!
The bar is called Mug and Mallet in Ocean City, Maryland. They confirmed that the cops entered on Saturday night looking for Justin Bieber, but the woman was named Katie, who's 27 years old. She had to pull her ID out to prove that she wasn't Justin Bieber. She says it happens all the time. She often gets mistaken for Justin Bieber.
That's not who you want to get mistaken for.
No, and if that's happening, go ahead and change that haircut or do something, lady.
Change your look a bit. Bam Margera has been in the news recently because that woman hit him in the head with a bat.
Right.
Well, we found out some more information about her. She has some serious mental problems. She's apparently a bitter neighbor. She lives right near the bar.
Oh.
And she hates all the noise.
Oh, so she wasn't really aiming at him specifically?
Oh, she was. Because he owns it. He owns the bar.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, apparently, she has a history of angry behavior. Bam claims that she threatened to kill him and his wife.
Wow.
She has punched him in the face twice and insinuated that she'd burn this mother down.
Wow.
So, that's who she is. She's crazy neighbor lady.
She needs to be put somewhere with
medication.
Bam,
what do you think? Does she need to be put somewhere?
She needs to fly a kite with a butt plug.
How old did we hear she was? She's 50-something, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's just, I guess anyone, I mean, look, I feel terrible for Bam, because I like him. I think he's a super nice guy. But if somebody comes up behind you with a baseball bat, there's not a lot you can do about that.
No.
Not a lot of way to get out of that. So.
Did you even hear her coming or anything? Was she yelling?
I had no idea she was there because Wee Man was kicking me in the nuts.
Maybe less of that.
I was doing the Mentos butt douche.
today's celebrity birthdays. Former Speaker of the House of the United States of America, and he's being rumored about to run for president in 2012. Newt Gingrich turns 67 years old.
Talk about the presidential elections yet.
Dude, it's very hot right now.
Oh, dear God.
A lot of speculation on who's going to be.
No, don't care.
Actor Greg Kinnear is 47 years old today. Thomas Hayden Church, ladies and gentlemen, turning 50 today. Terrific actor. You've seen him in a lot of TV shows and movies. Also, Paula Rubio is 38 today. Tennis star Venus Williams turns 30. Jason Patrick from Speed 2 is 44. Joe Piscopo, still out there doing comedy at 59 years old today. But the reason we all celebrate, ladies and gentlemen, Barry Manilow.
Got a course his
Stop it.
New show in Las Vegas at the Paris. Barry Manilow
Stop it.
Is 64, looks twice that. And that
oh, my God, who the hell cares?
I just don't care at all.
And that's the show.
You know, we put stuff up all the time, day and night, KevinAndBean.com, especially if you're a World Cup fan. Kevin has definitely been having you covered there this week on KevinAndBean.com. You see the did you see the hot chick with the soccer ball that I put up last night?
Oh,
Kevin?
Yeah.
You seen that video yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Our KevinAndBean.com is turning pretty softcore lately. And I think
you're
doing
your best, yeah.
A few weeks ago, we put up a post, Lisa, maybe you saw this, about sexycpr.com. Now, let's face it, most of us don't take the time to learn how to do CPR. And, you know, in your life, you might need that skill. But how do you remember? It's so complicated.
That's the problem.
Do I push here? Do I blow there? What do I do? What's a way for somebody to teach me how to do it?
I actually took a class here.
You did?
I don't remember anything.
Here at the station?
Yeah, they had one for everybody. I was like, this is awesome. I've always wanted to do this. Right. I'm going to do this. 2 years later, I'm like, I need to do it again. Look, I don't remember.
There's a lot of crap on the internet, but what we're about to tell you about is not crap. This is gold. This is diamonds right here. This is good stuff. It's called Super Sexy CPR.
Okay.
And we have Christina Yu on the phone. Hi, Christina.
Hey, how are you?
We are good.
We love you so much, we can barely contain our excitement on the phone.
Oh, awesome. I love the love.
So what is where are you coming from? Are you an advertising person? Are you a health professional? How did you end up doing the super sexy CPR.com stuff?
So I'm in advertising, and we had a client, Fortnite Lingerie, who needed to be promoted and who wanted to get her name well known around the world. So we came up with the idea of trying to sexify things. So what can we do to make it hot with her Fortnite Lingerie? And the one thing that we all kind of went to was the idea. Daniel and I, my partner, came to the idea of those mundane instructional videos that you always try to remember, but you can never remember.
Right.
And that's where we came up with the idea of like sexy CPR.
Okay.
And you got two supermodels in like super just skimpy. They're not bikinis as much as they are
it's
underwear.
Lingerie. It's lingerie. Beautiful lingerie.
Lingerie. Yeah.
Yes. And one of them is unfortunately not not with us, and the other one is going to revive her.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But she moves very slowly. I've noticed that. She's in no rush to revive her. But she
check for danger.
That's correct. You have to check for danger first, right?
And
you have
that's the first thing I learned in the SuperSexyCPR.com video. Yes,
right. So you check for danger, and then they show you how to do the compressions on the chest. It's the best thing I've ever seen. Perhaps
she does it properly, right?
She does it right. It's accurate information.
It is okay. I think it's brilliant because it really does sort of burn it into your brain.
I know it has mine.
I think, Christina, hang on, because I think we have a little bit of audio from the commercial. Again, you can also see this at the very top of KevinAndBean.com. Believe me, you'll never forget CPR again. Listen up.
Next, find a landmark between the nipples and begin chest compressions. Compressions should be 1.5 to 2 inches deep at a rate of 100 per minute. After 30 compressions, give 2 breaths.
Yes, that's the good part. Give 2 breaths.
What else can these girls teach us about safety? That's what I want to know, Christina. What do you have planned for these models?
She has the super sexy abdominal thrust.
Yeah, we do.
Have you seen that
What's
one?
What's that?
Oh,
that's the exercise? That's
Christina, tell me about that.
Well, that one's the when you're choking, you got to learn how to do the abdominal thrust. It used to be called Heimlich, but now
right.
Now it's
they're not calling it the Heimlich anymore.
I don't think so.
I didn't know that.
I would be so pissed if I were in the Heimlich family. That's my claim to fame. Wow. Why haven't they given these girls a sitcom? That's what I want to know. How do they how do they give the freaking cavemen from the Geico commercials a TV show and these girls are wallowing in obscurity on the internet?
I have no idea. Maybe we should do a campaign to get them on it, get their own sitcom.
Bean, this one has a guy in it. This is the girl's choking.
Yeah, this one has a guy in it.
And at the beginning of it, it looks
it's
like...
It's not as popular.
Yeah. What a surprise. At the beginning of it, honestly, she's holding her throat at the beginning. You don't know exactly what's going on. It right. sort of looks a little like autoerotic asphyxiation. But
I see.
Then you realize she's choking, and then the guy comes up behind her, and then they show you where to put your hands and how to do it properly.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any feedback, Christina, that somebody has seen your video and has actually implemented what they've learned and saved a life?
No feedback on that, and we do say that, you know, you do have to go get it done professionally. You have to go get a proper course because
this is proper.
You know, this is just exactly.
It is proper.
Get you all excited.
What do you have in
this
the future?
Is proper.
You have these girls. I don't know, vacuuming, mowing the lawn. What else can you teach us? Brush
well,
how
yeah,
to brush your teeth. I mean, really, let's get going with this.
We should brainstorm on this for sure because a lot of people have been talking about it. I don't know. I've heard super sexy oil change.
All right.
Fire safety.
All right.
Sexy fire safety.
Good.
I don't know.
Earthquake safety.
Earthquake safety.
I love fire safety because you can imagine these girls are in bed together and then the fire alarm goes off and it shows how they have a plan in place so they know where to meet and they know a safe way to get out of the house and everything like that.
They're all
that's
hot,
great,
and, hot right. and bothered.
Yes, yeah,
can I recommend
right.
super sexy banana peeling or hot dog cleaning?
Wait, do you have to clean hot dogs?
I don't know, but that sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Well, you have to see this ad. I know it doesn't seem like we do a lot of public service work here on the Kevin DeBede Show, but we care about people. We
that's
don't want
right.
people to die.
That's
so
right.
that's why we put it at the very top of KevinDeBede.com. You have to check it out. What's the name of the advertising agency, by the way, Christina?
It's Red Urban in Canada.
Right over. Got to check that out. You really do great work. And thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin DeBede Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
All right. I know you're going to email and you're going to ask, so I'm going to say it again. SuperSexyCPR.com.
Okay.
Thank us later.
You know what we like to do is we like to save you time trolling all over the internet for the good videos. So we put them all together in one place at KevinDeBede.com. We call it the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we don't need...
Fans seem happy about the Internet Roundup.
We don't need the horns.
A lot of excitement. A lot of excitement for this feature.
Don't need that so much. Not so much. Less of that. There are a bunch of videos up, some of which don't have audio, so we can't play highlights. One of them is Marissa Miller Guitar Hero commercial.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Which they determined was too sexy, so they didn't use it.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yes.
Wow. Or did they, by the way?
I
was thinking as I was watching this, all you need to do to make your video go viral, to get everybody want to see it, is put the word banned in the title on YouTube and
that's
boom.
True.
Not B-A-N-D, but B-A-N-N-E-D.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're
point.
Right. USA versus England in Legos. I can't imagine how long that took, but I guarantee it wasn't worth it.
Hilarious.
I don't know if you've been watching the Jimmy Kimmel specials after the finals.
I've seen some of them, yeah.
He has a busboy from Barney's Beanery who is great at Papa Shot, and he has been getting NBA stars to come in and challenge him.
Mm-hmm.
And this busboy has played Lamar Odom, Charles Barkley, LeBron James, and Carmelo Anthony. And this is where he plays Kobe.
It's a basketball game you find in bars. They have one at a bar called Barney's Beanery here in L.A. And they also have a busboy, a man named Ricardo, who knows how to play it like maybe no busboy ever. He beat Charles Barkley. He beat LeBron James. And now the opponent we've all been waiting for, Kobe Bryant. Let's do this. We go now to the great Marv Albert.
So then Marv Albert's standing there with the guy. And Kobe, they do a jump ball. And, of course, this guy's a little short. Dude, so Kobe wins the jump and he goes first and he gets like 42. All the NBA players get like 42, 44, 46.
Okay. And Kobe's
Which
pretty
good
at it, by
right?
the way. I mean, like,
yes,
Carmelo Anthony, not so good. Kobe, really good at it.
Yes. But the problem for them is that Ricardo the busboy is in the 80s.
Oh.
He demolishes every one of them.
Wow.
And after the Carmelo Anthony one, Jimmy says, Sal, take
Ricardo outside
and show him the brand new car that we have for him. Oh. And he walks outside, there's a brand new car sitting there.
Ricardo, I want you to look behind you. Look behind you. Turn around.
Okay, so he doesn't... look behind you. He's still staring straight ahead.
So Sal says, turn around.
Go, what, Jimmy. What do you see there, Ricardo?
A lot of people, Jimmy.
Okay.
Now, that's on the other side of the street past the car.
Okay, forget the people. What do you see right behind you?
Oh, it's a nice car, Jimmy.
It's a nice car. That's the 2011 Ford Mustang. And guess what, Ricardo? That's yours.
No way.
So they gave him a brand new car.
Wow, that's awesome.
By the way, I'm happy for Ricardo and all the fame and the success and obviously the new car. I mean, he's a busboy, for God's sakes. This has to be a very exciting week for him. But if you're Guillermo, how terrified are you that you're being replaced? Jimmy's got a new foreign guy who can barely speak English. What's going on?
And he also calls him Yimmy.
He does.
And that seems to be what Yimmy responds to. It's fantastic. You have to watch all of them. We put all of them up, all of the challenges. So you can watch all of the players that we just mentioned. Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Charles Barkley, Lamar Odom, and Kobe Bryant. This guy just serves all of them. Okay. It's ridiculous. We're going to talk to Jimmy a little bit later on about that. Eminem has a new CD coming out on the, I believe it's the 22nd.
Tuesday, right?
It's called Recovery. And Vince from ShamWow does a commercial for it.
Oh, all right.
It's played during the finals. Vince from ShamWow.
Hey, it's Vince with Eminem's new album, Recovery. You're going to be clapping when you hear Eminem rapping. Now, look at this. The Eminem CD has dozens of uses. Cuts razor-thin slices.
So he's he like splits the Eminem CD in half and starts cutting food with it.
Use it as a coaster. Put it on your hose. Cut Eminem's Recovery in half. Use one to slice, one to chop. Tacos, steak bone, silicone. I like mine real, so forget about it.
So anyway, he does a commercial for that album.
Okay.
Vince has been pretty much off the radar since he killed Billy Mays, by the way. You don't see much from Vince anymore.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, I think
they
just worked together.
That's how I remember it. I don't know the details.
Jimmy Kimmel also does This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, and we have to put it in every one because it's so funny. Keep in mind that the people that you're about to hear, there's CNN, there's a lot of NBA coverage, are not using curse words. They are not. They are using words that are acceptable. But Jimmy beeps them anyway to make it sound worse.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
The crowd is extra f***ed up for tonight's game.
We got a hard tonight. Harder than f***ing game two.
I love Ross Perot, but I think Al Gore f***ed his
New anger about the cleanup and new insight into how you f*** a baby bird.
Kobe was in there taking a sh**. Artest walked in with his clothes on and said, I'm going to find a way to come help you.
Oh, my God.
That's unpleasant.
All of that unnecessary censorship because it was fine. Right. Sounds much worse with the beeps.
Of course.
Obama with the auto-tune. There's nothing you can't auto-tune and make better except
Absolutely.
For auto-tune songs, in which case they should use less.
Yeah.
But this is Obama talking about BP and the big oil spill.
I talked to the experts, so I know who's ass to kick some butt. So I know who's ass to kick some butt.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the anchor being that says kick some butt?
I don't.
Today's show host.
I don't remember. There's a whole. Yeah, I think it was Matt Lauer. He sat down with. Yeah, it's very funny.
And then the worst of white people. The worst of white people is always cops. Always. You watch that and you go, can't someone be...
Oh, on the TV show Cops,
Hispanic
yes.
Or
oh,
black
my God,
or
yeah.
Something. They're all
and
white.
This is amazing. Yeah, they do have their fair share of whitey on that show. This is amazing because Cops has been on for, what, like 21 years or something. And I swear, the guy who put this video together, it looks like he sat down and watched every episode because it's nothing but gold.
It's the very best of Cops.
Oh,
so it's
wow, that's got to be great.
Like edited together into about a 4.5-minute clip.
Why do you want to bite me?
Because I'm a vampire! I'm a very polite vampire.
Too many beers to drink.
Be drinking all day.
Drop your pants.
I gotta get out of here.
You done blew it.
Oh, I done blew it.
I'm not about to confront raccoons.
I have a broken toe!
Nail.
Bam! Two beers.
Well, I look like a helicopter.
I don't keep track of that, but I don't understand. I'm so confused.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, God.
So good. 4.5 minutes of that. You see the video, too, as well. You see the people, and they're all just messed out and drunk.
Oh,
and just,
God.
It's just loser's row, and it's
awesome. It
makes
you feel better about your life.
Sure does. Go to Kevin and Bean for the internet. KevinandBean.com for the internet round.
Kevin and Bean, internet round.
How did we decide that it was Lisa May's turn to fill in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat this hour? Well, we heard this.
94.3. It's KMGX Magic FM, the station that's growing faster than ever. And that, of course, is thanks to you and your friends.
By the way, listen to this. Listen to Lisa is either really having the greatest time of her life, or she's sure trying to make it sound like she's never been more in love with a job than she is with the magic job.
Oh, she's so happy to be there.
She's a good faker.
Lisa May here. It's been awfully nice. I will be out of here at 3 o'clock, and of course Bob Taylor comes in, so Bob. Watch out.
Watch out for Bob.
What does Bob do? Spitfire.
Was he?
Oh. A firecracker.
People had to watch out when they listened to him.
Now, what would the danger be for the home listener,
you
though?
You could catch on fire listening to
Bob. Oh, really?
That's
is that
how
right?
hot he was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize.
So he'll be taking you through right till 7, so have a great afternoon and keep it here at Magic FM.
Magic FM. All right.
Are you faking it in here with us, too, having fun?
No.
Are you faking it?
No. I'm having the best time of my
life.
She's
faking it with us, too, Bean.
Now that we know she's capable of it, I don't know why we didn't see it. All these years, we thought she thought we were funny, but I guess not. All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What the heck's going on, Lisa?
Well, this is in the category of really, why now?
Okay.
Calista Flockhart and Harrison Ford got married.
Oh, yes.
After 8 years of being together. And the question for me always is, what triggered it now?
Yeah,
what
that's a great
happened
point.
That made you have to go get married now?
You're together for 8 years. He's about to die, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Why well, marry?
Here's the thing.
Maybe that's why.
Nobody really knows if they're married because they could not hear him do his vows.
Oh, true.
But
I'm sorry, could you
but
speak
they
up,
did
please?
File a wedding license, and they apparently got married in Santa Fe yesterday. So,
all right.
That's by the governor of New Mexico, right? He performed the
yes,
ceremony.
Exactly.
That's well, star power for you.
But
if
they
you're
don't live in New Mexico,
it.
Do they?
They live in a couple of different places. I think Montana.
That's what I thought.
Jackson Hole.
L.A.
Wyoming.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They're all
I think
the
they're filming a... one of them's filming a movie there. I think that's how it ended
Harrison
up happening.
Harrison is filming Cowboys and Aliens in New Mexico.
It
and
is
they
weird,
did get
though.
Engaged a couple of years ago, so I guess this was the intention.
Hmm. I mean, they have a kid. I get that. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe the kid is now old enough that they feel like they don't want to have to answer questions about why mommy and daddy aren't married. That's the only thing that I could think that made it. Because they, you know, she's got money. It's not like she needs his dough, so...
But when daddy dies, it makes it much easier. And daddy's close.
Daddy is close.
Daddy is very close.
We've had enough of Kate Gosselin, but Kate Gosselin doesn't think we've had enough of Kate Gosselin.
Oh, but we so have.
So the rumor now is that she's looking for another TV show, and this one is a dating show for her to find a mate. Kate
no,
plus
please.
Mate?
Anybody?
Wow.
Anybody? Kate plus eight.
Let me
see,
just say
because
that.
It's Kate plus eight.
Yeah.
You know what it is about her, though? And she. This is what happened when she was on Dancing with the Stars. She said, look, I have a family to support. I need a job. And in her mind, the best job that she's going to get is something beyond television. She might as well exploit whatever popularity she has left. So.
I don't blame her, but we don't have to watch.
Who's
we don't
have to watch. Step up?
By the way, here's
Who
the thing.
Who wants to be her mate?
Here's the thing. That's a deal. Usually a kid, one kid is a deal breaker. You have eight. You're not getting a man. There's
insider,
no man is going to do that.
An insider says she's trying to do this with ABC, and the insider says Kate would love to have someone in her life. She really misses the companionship, and this is the key. She wishes she had a man around to help her out.
Ah.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yes.
Needs an extra pair of hands that she can yell at.
No kidding.
You're right. There may be somebody out there who thinks she's attractive. There may be somebody out there who's attracted to the fact that she is famous. But anyone who ever saw her reality show, the John plus Kate, none of those people are going to want to date her. That's for
nope.
sure.
No. Green Day wants to help the Gulf. I love this trend of being able to text to donate money. It's
I do too. It,
so
it makes it
much
so much easier.
And they're doing that with the National Resources Defense Council, who's doing a lot of work in the Gulf right now. So I just want to mention this quickly, that you can text GULF, Gulf SOS, to 25383, and that'll donate $5 to the cause. And you can go to greenday.com for more information. But that's a great thing to do.
Very nice.
Dennis Hopper's estate is... embattled, to say the least. You know, he rewrote his he drafted an amendment to his estate plan back in March, which was trying to cut down his wife's share of his estate from 40% to 25%.
Oh, so he wanted to give her less. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But as you know, she was still on the property.
Right.
So he couldn't cut her out completely. So under California law, that amendment may not be valid because changes to an estate plan are restricted when a divorce is pending.
No kidding.
So that may all be for naught. So they're battling this. The lawyers are trying to get the wife and the child, which is his kid, off the estate, and she's refusing to go. This is going to be a disaster.
That is ugly.
I feel really bad for the little girl.
And by the way, that's the whole thing is sad, and this was, what, his fourth wife or something like that. But you just know that he wasn't already miserable enough on his deathbed. He was trying to hang on, literally try to stay alive long enough to get all this paperwork worked out before he died. He just couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Terrible way to go.
Really sad.
That's bullshit.
And I don't care if this is true. It's just so juicy.
And all right.
This came out yesterday, and I think we forgot to talk about it. Al Gore, the rumor is that Al Gore was actually cheating with Larry David's wife.
What?
Well, really, ex-wife, I guess, was having an affair with her for the past 2 years, and that's why he and Tipper broke up.
Yeah, she's denying it,
but
they've
she's
been...
like crazy conservation lady.
Yes.
She's
well,
super into conservation.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
Yeah. It does make sense.
Say global warming. Say it again. Say global warming.
Wasn't she, Lisa, I could be dead wrong on this, but I think I heard that she was one of the producers of An Inconvenient Truth.
Oh,
the movie that won the documentary Oscar. I think they go back quite a few years. They've been very close for a long time, so who knows if it went over a line somewhere.
Yeah, now she has gone on, Lori David's gone on Huffington Post and said it's absolutely not true.
Which means it's true, right?
Adores Al and Tipper.
Right.
So maybe it was a threesome, but then they just wanted to cut Tipper out.
I like it.
It is weird, though. Just like the Harrison Ford story, Why Get Married Now? I mean, this is a couple that's been together 40-plus
years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of marriages do break up, but this is also a couple that everybody says they never stopped acting like teenagers. I mean, even when they weren't on making out on TV, like that one time, even, you know, people who say, yeah, I saw Al and Tipper at a wedding, and they were all over each other. I mean, it's weird that this happened the way it happened. I think somehow Tiger Woods is involved. I'm not sure. I can't prove that, but it just seems likely to me.
Maybe Al just wanted to put his carbon footprint on Larry David's wife.
Nice.
Well, maybe that's
headline.
Very possible.
Celebrity birthdays. Joe Piscopo is 59 years old. Thomas Hayden Church, we love him. He's 49. Greg Kinnear, who's turned out to be such a good actor, is 47. Venus Williams is 30. And that's the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lisa gave a great tip to go to greenday.com if you'd like to text and donate $5 to help clean up the Gulf of Mexico with the big oil leak out there. You can go to greenday.com, check that out, and we'll be hearing from Green Day next coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's an interesting story that we got from the news. Let's play this, and then I think we may need some folks to call in and describe and discuss how this happens in your own bedroom.
Well, you know, texting while driving is a no-no, but how about texting while in the bedroom?
A new poll says the under 25 crowd is not bashful. Ooh. News Raw's Mikala Medina is live in the newsroom.
You know, I'm not surprised. I mean, most of my friends text, Facebook, tweet every moment they get. It's quick, it's fast, and apparently it's fast enough even during sex. So let's take a look really quickly at the survey. It came to us from Retrievo.com. They asked the question, when is it okay to text? Apparently in the bedroom during sex, 1 in 10 of social media users under 25 years old say it's cool.
That's good. No worries.
They are not getting the job done.
During sex.
That's all I'm saying.
Now, I've been reading the paper for years during sex, but this apparently takes it a step further to involve electronic media. So we're talking about texting. We're talking about tweeting. We're talking about updating your Facebook page.
Yeah. Unless it's with photos.
Then it's okay?
Of what's happening.
Oh, now, I see.
Yeah.
Now, Psycho Mike, you're the one having sex with all the under 25-year-olds. What's been your experience in this arena?
I don't think so, man. I'm not down with that. I think if you're doing anything besides having sex when you're having sex, that's going to really offend your partner.
Well, it's very disrespectful to go, hey, I'm going to be talking to somebody else while we do this. Do you mind? You don't even ask that, but that's what you're saying with your actions.
Right.
Under 25, 10% say it's cool. Over 25... 6% still say it's cool. We're fine with it.
That is so surprising to me.
When this came up in the, again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to weigh in on this, particularly if you have personal experience as either the person texting or the person who was with the person texting. When this came up in the office yesterday, somebody, I can't remember who, said, yeah, but what if you're with a spouse or a longtime partner that you're extremely comfortable with? And it's somebody that you guys both know, that it's, you know, it's not like you're...
That's not how it came up. Mike said that because he thinks it's funny.
Right. He would do it for comedy.
He would do it for comedy. Oh, hey, just a second. I got a text from so-and-so.
Yeah, and then, you know, you pick up the phone and your mutual friend goes, hey, what are you doing? You go, oh, I'm banging right now.
But, you know, I don't know that any of these people thought it was for funny. I mean, really.
No, they're serious.
They're serious.
They're addicted. That's the thing. There's people who cannot stop checking their phones no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay,
and they
but
won't
let me
turn them off.
Their Facebook.
Let me play devil's advocate here. Then, what if again you're in a situation where it's somebody that you know very well, and you say, "Hey, just pause for 20 seconds. Let me take care of this, and then we'll get back to it." I mean, is
but
there
why?
Some way that could be done without being offensive?
Is your mother or father dying?
Exactly. It
then
better
no.
be a big emergency.
I mean, really, no. Because here's the thing, and this is what I always say to people to bring their phones into theaters and everything else. The world will live without you being connected
right.
for an hour. And in most cases, 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
and in some, three.
Right. I mean, you really, it's going to be okay. And whatever comes into your Facebook or your Twitter or anything else like that, a text, it'll be there in 5 minutes when you're done.
Right. And that's the thing. If your mother or father is dying, or if you're losing your job or something of that nature,
of course.
You ain't getting that info over text or through Facebook, okay? Like, that's something that is not, you know, usually reserved for the face-to-face talking to or the emergency phone call.
Right.
So this 10% figure for under 25-year-olds saying it's okay to use social media during sex, it'd be much higher than that for people on the phone, right? A lot of people talk on the phone, don't they?
I don't know. We did that topic one other time, and there were a lot of people who took calls who would always answer the phone, no matter what. But I can't imagine how that doesn't make your partner feel like they don't matter. You know what? Yeah, we're doing the most intimate thing we can do right now, but I got a call. I want to talk to Mike.
Don't move.
Mike's
just
at a concert,
right, like,
and he has something
right
witty
back
to say.
Kevin, Muse is so good.
Really? I wish I was there. Hey, what's going on? I mean, that just seems bad.
unless it's a turn-on. I mean, the phone thing at least might be a turn-on for one or both people involved because it's a little bit dirty that you're doing this and the person on the other end of the phone doesn't know about it. But that can't be the case with texting, though.
No, I think that's the different. I think that is an exception, the turn-on. I think these people are saying 10%, 1 in 10 are saying it's okay if I need to tweet someone back or if I need to put up on Twitter, not having a good time right now. I sure wish this was going better. You know, something. I don't know, but
they're the same people, I'm guessing, who won't put the phone down when you're having dinner with them,
of course,
or anything else.
Yeah.
They just won't.
Yeah, I think maybe Lisa's on to something. And hang on, guys. We'll get to your calls in 1 second. I think you're on to something that we happen to be talking about sex, but it could be any other activity. It's the same people who are texting while eating or texting while driving or texting in the movies or texting in the dentist chair. Whatever it is they're doing, they just don't want to be out of touch for a minute.
Right, but it seems like sex is a step further than that. All those places are rude. In the bedroom, it seems like it's even worse.
Not for them.
I mean, you know, how does that make
maybe
your partner
their
feel?
Sex is so casual because they're young and they're not, I don't know.
No, that's not.
I don't know.
It's not casual.
You know, they're hooking up.
How casual can sex be?
Well, if you're just hooking up with someone,
right?
That's pretty casual.
But yeah, if you're not worried about them being pissed off or you're not worried about doing
we're
it again.
We're just friends and we just do this sometimes,
right.
Then you're probably both texting.
Well then,
but I don't know how you can concentrate.
But are you texting each other though? That's the question.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Hey, that's good right there. Right there.
Let's try we have some great maybe you're having sex with someone who can't talk. You ever think about that?
Yeah, maybe you're banging Stephen Hawking. That's an awesome way to get by.
That's the only way they can communicate with you. Let's start with Austin. He is on line 6 and we want to take your calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. I think Austin is in that 10% in the survey we talked about. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good. What's up, guys?
Hi, Austin.
You've done this?
Okay. I wouldn't, you know, completely say I'm in that 10% minority, but there is one exception to the rule.
And that is?
And it's not that, you know, the sex is casual or anything, but I think two instances I've been, you know, having sex with my girlfriend, and the Angels were in a close one, you know, eighth and ninth inning.
Oh, big baseball fan, right? When the game's
so,
going
know,
on and you,
do?
You know it could be ending right now.
Yeah, I mean, but that's after she makes me turn the TV off during, because, you know, she wouldn't go for that, you know, having the announcement.
Okay, so you, right, you have to check in on the score, and she's thrilled with that?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. Everything stopped. It was all over. She left my house, but, you know.
Okay, Austin, but here's the question. Why have sex at that time?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you want sex and baseball?
Yeah.
But you're not getting sex and baseball.
I'd like sex in a sport. But that's just me.
How dare you?
Also, Lisa, let me speak
Lisa's
for Austin.
Right. You're not getting baseball at that time.
But, let me speak for Austin. You're speaking from a woman's point of view, Lisa, and sometimes when you're offered sex, you just take it when you can get it as a guy. You don't really argue.
Well, even it is his girlfriend.
I know, but Austin, am I correct that if it's being sent out there on the platter, you just got to eat it up?
Yeah, you got to take it, you know? I mean,
I'm not comfortable with that analogy at all.
So you had your phone or whatever with you and you got the constant update of the game?
Yeah, I have an iPhone and, you know, there's an app for sports scores and stuff like that, you know, alerts. So.
Right.
Okay. Well, I think you keep doing what you're doing because, you know, it would do you good to be single for a while anyway.
All right, so she left. Did the Angels win that game?
Oh, yeah, they won. All right. They put up the big A. It was awesome. Yeah.
Good work. Nice job.
But she didn't have the big O.
Yeah.
I guess that didn't happen. And we'll just have to start having sex on off days, you know?
Well, it seems like that would be good planning. If you can't avoid the game, it does seem like that would be good planning.
By the way, off days in the baseball season, it's not like off days in basketball, Kevin. You know, it's like one of every 10 days is an off day. So.
Yeah, true.
All right, let's do one more before the break, and then we'll come back with your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Van is on line 5. He also is a texter during sex. Hey, Van, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your story, dude?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Well, actually, I do it just because on MySpace or Facebook, you meet someone and they have a hot picture, and then when you meet them, they're not that hot, but you guys already talked about having sex and everything, and she got her hopes up.
Right.
And well, when I'm from behind, it's just like,
she got her hopes up.
You don't want to disappoint the hag.
Well, yeah. So it's just one of those, like, damn, I don't want to be the dick. I'm like, yeah, let's not do this. So, I mean, you can't pass up sex, but it's just like, god damn, I wish I was someone else or, like,
right, but,
somewhere better.
But this is the most romantic conversation I have ever been a part of.
So, but you said you're in a position, and we can't explain stuff too much, but you're in a position where she's in front of you looking away, and she can't see what you're doing when you text?
She cannot see.
All right, well, that's different.
I am never letting anyone sneak behind me again.
If you're sneaking.
That's it.
Well, Lisa, hold on now. I wouldn't do that with you.
All right.
I promise.
We'll set you two up and we'll see.
So, Van, not only are you texting, are you actually trash-talking the woman you're having sex with to your friends while
yes.
you're doing it?
That's happened twice.
Yes!
You are not full of wind.
She gave me a hotter picture. It wasn't real. It was from 10 years ago.
Here's awesome. What she really looks like.
Oh, my
Click.
God.
Oh, take a picture from where you're at your vantage point. Wow, look at that back. All right, very well done, man. Hang on. We'll take your calls when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jimmy Kimmel joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show next hour to talk about his NBA Finals primetime show. Poor Jimmy, by the way, most nights. He's been doing two shows a night. He's been doing the show that airs after the game and then the show that airs regular late night. So
that's got to be exhausting.
Busiest guy in showbiz, right? Right now, though, we're talking about people who use social media during sex. We're talking about you're in the middle of it and you decide to update your Facebook page or tweet or send a text to a friend or something like that. You just know Dave is doing Farmville when he's having sex.
He is, yeah.
Oh, I'll be with you in a minute.
Oh,
I need to bring in some asparagus.
Oh, tunips.
So anyway, 1-800-520-1067 is our number. Let's try Chris. He says he's on line 3. He says he has legitimate reasons to text on his phone in the middle of having sex.
Right.
Hey, Chris, welcome to the show. What's going on, dude?
I'm Mark. How you guys doing?
What's a legitimate reason to text during sex?
Basically, my buddy had tickets for the Charger game last season, and they were awesome. They're load seats.
Right.
He texted me and said, hey, do you want to go? And I said, yeah, I do. I'll get back to you. And after that, I've been married 10 years, and my wife decided she was in the mood.
Right.
So, and being married, like Mike said, you don't get it very often. So
when it's offered, you have to accept.
So when it's offered, you jump on it.
Right.
So I jumped on it, and during the course of it, my buddy texted me back. Are you going to go? What's the deal? Well, I couldn't leave him hanging either. So during the course of our intercourse, I went ahead and texted, like, yeah, I can make it. Hold the tickets. I'll be right there.
Did your wife know you did it, or did you sneak it?
She knew I did it.
Okay.
I pulled my pants up, got slapped in the face, and left the
house. Nice!
By the way, I know ladies listening may disagree. I think that's legitimate. If he's talking about time-sensitive plans,
nope.
I think it would be nice for the wife to cut the dude a break for 30 seconds just to say, here's what's up.
Let me tell you why. I think the act of checking your text to see if someone texts you.
Yes.
Is...
You're already out.
Yeah, you're already out. You're already being super offensive.
Right, because, but he had plans with his friend, though, that he was trying to coordinate and make sure that they were able to get together, you know, at an appropriate time.
Right, and he couldn't have texted her at any point before
before
the sex? And why are you checking the text while you're having sex?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to go to the game.
Of course. But don't you text him that ahead of time? Hey, just a minute, honey. I just need to text a guy.
Yeah, and then you text, I'll be busy for 4 minutes.
Right.
I want the tickets.
I'll be busy for only 2.5 minutes.
All right.
It'll be a minute, and then I'll be ready.
I'm down with you, Chris. I think he did the right thing. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Brock. He's on line 2. Hey, Brock, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Oh, hoy. It's not so much the actual texting during, but, I'm a bit of an exhibitionist, so I would like to announce the conclusion as it is.
Okay.
So I'll have the text pre-made. So, I'm texting in the act of, just so that when you get to the arrival, it's announced.
And who? It's announced. And who do you text that to?
Oh, I just pretty much would.
Or you tweet it?
My Facebook, change my status.
Oh, update your Facebook. Oh, your status is satisfied. is that a status on Facebook?
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, you are way more concerned that other people know you're having sex than that you're actually having sex.
Well, yeah, it's an exhibitionist thing.
But is the girl an exhibitionist as well?
Poor guy.
Because then it wouldn't work for me.
Oh, I see.
It
only works if you. Now, do you try
to? I have to make it a little cryptic, like boom, yummy, so that no one really.
So boom, yummy is your announcement.
Wow, what a waste of time!
Wow. Now, do you try to hide?
Full of wind.
Do you try to hide it so that she doesn't see you do it?
Well, yeah, pretty much. So I have to set the light on the screen to dim.
Right. Sort of a lot of work goes into this. He pre-types it. At least he pre-types it.
Do you run in the bathroom and take care of all this and then come out?
No. During the act of, strategically place it somewhere on the bed, maybe under a pillow or something, lock the screen so that it doesn't get pushed.
So basically all you're doing is hitting, enter or send.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hitting enter, all right. Hey, Brock, yesterday we talked to a guy who's running a website called IJustMadeLove.com, where you update where you have sex.
Already on it.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
He's an exhibitionist.
Yeah.
It totally sounded like something you would enjoy. All right, very good. Thank you for the call. We got time for just one more. Let's make it Betty, because we have not heard the female perspective
on
this. It's all men so far. They all think it's perfectly okay. But let's see if there's a woman out there who's okay or maybe also text during sex.
Just to catch up, did all the guys get slapped and it ended?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Except for the one that was sneaky.
Betty?
What's up, guys?
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Lisa.
So you're okay with it? You're not okay with it?
Oh, I'm okay with it. Well, my boyfriend owns his own company, and so his schedule is really random, and sometimes people will text him out of nowhere and hey, there's a show coming up. Can you do it?
Right.
And that so
can't.
He needs-
but wait, here's my question. That can't be handled in 2.5 minutes when he's done?
Well, sometimes if they're texting him over and over again, the person on the other end can't wait. If they're, with a promoter or they're with somebody, they can't wait the 2 minutes.
So it's a work thing. So does he say, just a minute, honey, I'm really sorry, but I have to take care of work? Gone. I don't know if she hung up or what, but disconnected.
She's got to text somebody. She's busy.
She's texting.
He had to bang her right now.
Yeah. Maybe he'll text us and tell us how it went.
Very close to the weekend. You're listening to Kevin Bean Show on a Thursday. Improv tomorrow night, Hollywood Improv in Hollywood. Bill Burr is going to be there.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Such a funny guy. If you've never seen him live and in person, you got to go check that out. And Bill will join us in studio in about 20 minutes. So stick around for that. I think you'll have a good time.
Plus, we've got Jimmy Kimmel and Dr. Drew. No matter what you try your hand at, somebody else is better than you. That's just
of
the
course.
Way it goes. Whatever it is. And lately it's been kids, and that's driving me even more crazy, because I can understand somebody my own age beating me at something. Okay, fine. But, we talked to a 3-year-old last hour that was smoking and drinking. Now there's a 4-year-old that does 1,500 push-ups in 40 minutes.
Wow.
Four. A boy in Rajkot, India, who is, they say, allegedly 4 years old. I guess they don't know for sure. But that's 1,500 push-ups. Mike, you said your max was?
Without stopping, my best ever was 93, and that's pretty darn good. I had people there monitoring my form and the whole deal. It was at some weird event, but 1,500's unbelievable. And by the way, anything for you said he's five?
Four.
Okay. I have a nephew who, when he was five, is a really athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, impressively athletic. If he were to rifle off six, You'd go tell everybody in your neighborhood.
Right, because
a four-year-old is like nothingness. I mean, you're like a little flimsy little nothing.
Now, I don't think the four-year-old is doing perfect push-ups. I mean, I don't think
they're
if they
sloppy.
Were,
they are a little bit. They're yeah, not they competition are. Push-ups.
Right, but still 1,500 in 40 minutes.
The ability for him to even hold himself up in a push-up position for that long a period of time is still blows
40
my
minutes.
Mind.
Yeah, it's great.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, Psycho Mike, because no one knows less about physical exercise than I do. Those muscles just aren't developed at all at that age in order to be able to support your own body weight? Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, clearly your body weight's lower than a grown human, so you can get – there's that. I mean, he's not pushing up as much weight.
But his arms are smaller,
but
too.
Like you said, I mean, he just doesn't have the development in his upper body, usually most five-year-olds, to be able to do something like that. I mean, it's an incredible feat of strength to do a couple push-ups for a young
How
boy.
Many?
A couple.
The Times of India reported when he was 2 years old, he used to practice yoga at home, stretching exercises, and he used to perform yoga on his own, something that's very difficult for us to do. Then we realized that his body is flexible, his mother said. Then we made him do one or two push-ups. The next day he did 10 on his own, and then from then on he just started doing push-ups. 1,500.
That's
amazing. This kid's intense.
And I've seen this this video, by the way. And
you think he's on roids? You think he's on steroids?
Oh, dude, he's juicing like crazy.
They show him doing the push-ups, but then they also show him doing other exercises in the gym. Those kind, I don't even know what they're called, Mike, those kind where you lift yourself up by the bars.
He's doing pull-ups and
stuff. Up to your chest?
Like full pull-ups, full pull-ups, extension pull-ups. And he was, and like handstand push-ups and stuff.
Oh, what a dick that kid's going to grow up to be. He's going to grow up to just be a bully.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we asked producer Alex if there's any possibility that we could talk to the kid. So if you wouldn't mind dialing up the phone here, Kevin, because apparently we can get him. Apparently we can talk to him or his family or somebody like that. I don't know what kind of English they got going on, but little 4-year-old in Rajkot, India is the name of the village.
Oh,
I was
looking for the number. He's
They're
already
never
on hold.
Americans. No. We are underachievers.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh,
we're not number one. We are not number one.
No.
All right. Hello. Is this India?
Hello, my friend.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
No, that's not the bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not the bit. No, we wanted to talk to... What's the mother's name? We wanted to talk to your... Is this you or the push-up guy? Because it sounds like you're working out.
I am doing my push-ups in the gym. My mother's not home.
Okay. So you have a gym at home?
Oh, that's right. I have gym equipment everywhere. I'm so buffed. You understand what I'm saying, Abraham Lincoln? You hear me, bro, DiMaggio?
We do understand you, although you do speak better than most 4-year-olds in America.
You know how many of me it takes to screw in a light bulb? One to screw the light bulb in, while 8 of me turn your house around.
See, because you're really, really strong
I'm very
and buff.
Strong. Do you hear me?
Yes,
bro?
I do.
You hear me, Brocho Cinco?
Oh, yes, man.
We got it. Well, listen, little man, why is it that you are so obsessed with exercise? What is it that you enjoy about it?
Because there's never too much training. You can always train more. There's no such thing as overtraining, just under eating. I'm so buff. Swole Patrol.
Oh, man, you're not on the Swole Patrol.
Affliction.
Did you say affliction?
I love affliction. All over with my Zubas.
You do sound awfully buff, and I hate to ask, but you're not taking steroids too, are you?
That's right, of course I am. You gotta do whatever it
of
takes.
Of course.
I have no more kidneys, and my colon's swollen beyond belief, but who cares?
What?
If I die young, I'll die with a huge coffin.
Wow. Maybe less of that and more, I don't know, schoolwork.
No! Listen to me, bro, Hamid right. Mali. Right. I am so buff. I'm like Swole Dog Millionaire.
Well, can you stop yelling?
Just
is there any way you can stop
out.
Yelling
can
at
you
us?
Can you stop working out for 30
stop
seconds?
Stop yelling, bro, to Stalin. I'm just pooping.
So you have to yell?
Do you hear me, bro, for Cleveland?
Tell me what it's like and what's going through your little 4-year-old brain as you're doing your 1,500 push-ups in a row. That's incredible.
Well, bro, Osama bin Laden, I tell myself, you just gotta push through the pain.
Right.
You know why? Because it's worth it in the end. Every time you feel like you've got just one more rep, I know I've got 5 more. I'm so buff.
Wow. Is it possible you're too buff for a 4-year-old?
No way, Brosie O'Donnell. I'm too. I can never be too buff. All right, my friend.
Okay, well, listen, I believe we're going to let you get back to working out here today, but we may have to check back in with you from time to time and see how your training is coming.
I'm Brodus Maximus!
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Brodstein Hutch.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, tomorrow on the program, one of our favorite actors, John C. Reilly, is going to be joining us. He'll be talking about that new film. It is called Cyrus, that he's in with Jonah Hill, Marissa Tomei, Catherine Keener. The movie does look really, really good. You want a chance to see it for free at the Arclight Hollywood. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. This was a Sundance hit, and I'm very excited about it hitting theaters this weekend. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20, win your tickets to go see Cyrus. We are filling in on the Showbiz Beat this week. Ralph Garman is on vacation. There's an interesting trend that has been happening with billionaires in this country. You know, Bill Gates is, until very recently, was the richest man in the world. He got passed by that Mexican cell phone guy.
Right.
But his plan is to give it all away. His plan is to give away all his money. And part of the reason he's not the richest man in the world anymore is because he gives billions of dollars away. He's a guy who has said, look, I have more money than I can ever spend in my life. Why not use some of it to fight malaria in Africa, just to name one thing that he's given his money? Well, now he has teamed up with Warren Buffett, who, by the way, is giving away 99% of his fortune between now and when he dies.
If I'm their kids, I'm going, hey, 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 not so much.
Yeah.
How about that, by the way? He's giving away 99% of what he owns in the next few years.
Wow. How much does that leave, though?
Probably plenty to live on. Right, exactly.
But if you're the kid, you go, hey, listen, you can never be too safe. Why don't you give away 95%?
I know. You know what? I admire that because the kid now has to, I don't know, make something of themselves.
Yeah.
And by the way, Bill Gates has been very outspoken about that for a long time about his kids. He's like, look, I started Microsoft in a garage, okay? Mm-hmm. If I can do it, my kid can do it. It's not on me to provide for them for the rest of their life. So I, you know, as long as I'm not his kid, I'm down with that. But anyway, so Warren Buffett and Bill Gates get together, and they've started something called Giving Pledge, and they're trying to get other billionaires to do the same thing. So they're trying to get Oprah to give away more of her money, and Michael Bloomberg, and Ted Turner. Apparently, there are more than 400 billionaires in the United States,
wow.
And they're trying to get this thing going so they can give a lot more money to charity. So I don't know how that's going to go. I mean, I can certainly understand the other side of it. If I'm Oprah, I'm like, I could be. Hey, who are you to tell me how to spend my money that I earned? You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't try to guilt me into giving the money away. But it's an interesting campaign. Giving Pledge is what it's called. We'll see what happens.
Lindsay Lohan has filled the position of personal assistant. She got a dude, and apparently the guy was spotted driving her home from the Chateau Marmont on Tuesday night.
She got a dude?
Yeah.
Got a dude. All right.
Yeah. Red-haired man. And he is her now servant. We were talking before how they have to make appointments for her. They have to brush her teeth. They have to drive her around. They have to dress her, which wouldn't be all half bad.
Right.
But they filled the spot. And we were saying, who would want to do that 24/7? No matter what you get paid, that would be a nightmare.
A dude that thinks he has a shot.
Hey,
maybe that's what it is.
2 a.m. Hey, can you give me a bottle of water? It's in the fridge right next to your bed. I'm at home. Come on, give me a bottle of water.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sure the other thing that's really important for that job is to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Sure.
I'm sure he's never going to be allowed to talk about what hell that job is. But Nick Cannon back in the news. You know, he is married to Mariah Carey, and she's pregnant right? She's getting ready to have a baby, something like that?
I think she's
anyway,
just fat.
he was doing an interview with Us Weekly. And by the way, he was the host of one of those reality shows, like America's Got Talent or one of those shows. I don't remember which one it was. Boy, is there... Never been a guy with less to offer to a television program than Nick Cannon. What a big zero this dude is. My God. Anyway, here's what he told Us Weekly. We're going to do it like George Foreman, who, of course, famously named all of his kids George. We're going to name all of our kids Mariah, no matter if they are boys or girls.
Well,
now,
what?
I hope he's joking. I hope he's trying to make a funny there, because no, right?
No.
No. Yeah, no.
No.
So don't do that.
Yeah. At least with George, you can do Georgia. At least that's a girl's name.
Yeah, I like that.
But for God's sakes.
No.
Bam Margera is learning the hard way that being a bar owner is not for the weak. We finally found out some more information about this woman that hit him in the head with a baseball bat. She's got serious mental problems. Hard to believe. He didn't see her coming. She's a neighbor who hates living next to the bar that he owns because of the noise. She hates the noise. Called the police. She goes over there. She threatens him. She's threatened to burn the place down. She's threatened to kill him.
Maybe he drove her crazy.
Well, it would appear that she was crazy from the beginning.
Yeah.
But now that we know that, she's the one that smacked him in the back of the head with a bat.
Wow.
and did brain damage. He's in the hospital for a couple of days. Bam, you anything you want to tell us about her, your relationship with her?
I thought she was going to cattle brand a penis on my ass.
And that would have been good.
That would have been acceptable.
Right.
What about then she hit me with a bat.
Not acceptable?
No.
All right.
You know, we haven't had any stories in so long that involved a baseball bat, but I think it may be time to play this one again. Peanut butter jelly.
Baseball bat. Peanut butter belly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. I put peanut butter and jelly on a baseball bat and stuck it in my ass.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Thanks for stopping
by. A little too much.
I don't get this one. I've described this before. Look, she was great in Almost Famous. She got nominated for an Oscar. But beyond that, I've never enjoyed anything Kate Hudson has ever done. I don't think she's a very good actress. I definitely don't think she's attractive. But she seems to get all the stars. You know, she was with Alex Rodriguez until very recently.
Sure.
Now, apparently, she is dating, and they have been spotted together recently in Paris, the frontman of Muse, Matthew Bellamy.
Wow. Wow. She is really cute.
Yes.
I think
she's cute.
She's cute. Yeah, and she looks really fun
fug.
And happy. No.
You think she's fug?
She is
I
not.
Do. I think she's fug.
She's not.
I think she's relatively cute, but I don't think her looks match the guys she's getting.
Yeah,
well, she
but maybe that's
a really
the personality.
Great personality.
Right? I mean,
too.
I don't know what her personality is like. I would guess it would have to be good to get all those.
She's
guys.
Sure always on the beach.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I didn't care if she got with Alex Rodriguez and screwed up the Yankees because I don't care for the Yankees.
Right.
I don't want any risk that things are going to go bad for Matt and Muse.
I agree.
I want him to be in a good place.
I agree.
Him to be happy because I like Muse so much.
And Lisa assumes she has a good personality, in quotes, and that's why guys are into her. I think we all know it's that she's a freak. That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's possible, too.
The whole deal.
Stories continue with Russell Brand and Katy Perry. The latest is that they are getting matching tattoos on their right arms.
Oh, I hope it's each other's names, because that's always great when you've been dating for a year.
It's Anuguchati Pravaha, which means go with the flow in Sanskrit. They also, there's a story in Us Weekly, Russell Brand has said that he wants Katy Perry to be a housewife. Now, here's what we learned by having Katy Perry on the show and Russell Brand on the show. Neither of them mean anything they say.
That's true.
They are just having a laugh. They don't care.
Yep.
So Russell Brand says, he told Us Weekly, that she, Katy Perry, if she's going to marry me, she's going to bloody learn how to cook. And I can just hear him saying it, and I know for a fact that he doesn't mean anything by it.
Yeah.
And she says that she makes up stories all the time. They're just having
about
fun.
He's planning the whole
just
wedding, and he's a bridezilla.
Exactly. Those two are really, they seem to have a great time together.
Yeah.
It's still not right. But don't trust anything you see in the tabloids from them, because they do like to just have a laugh at your expense.
Yeah.
That did shatter me, though, when we expressed our concern that she shouldn't get married to Russell Brand. She says, I'm not going to have sex with you guys anyway.
She did.
She pretty much
put it
in a
place. She didn't say you guys. She said you.
You and Ralph.
I see.
And Ralph.
I see.
She told Ralph specifically. She never said that to me.
Mm-mm. So you still got a chance.
Yes.
Okay.
I was not dumb enough to ask.
Today's celebrity birthdays, how about Greg Kinnear? He, of course, was the host of The Soup at one time and has gone on to have a very successful career, even Oscar-nominated at one point. He is 47 years old today. I think the last thing I saw him in was that movie about the guy who invented the windshield wipers. He's very good.
Yeah.
Actor Thomas Hayden Church, another Oscar-nominated actor, turns 50 today. Venus Williams, tennis star, turns 30. Actor Jason Patrick is 44. Comedian Joe Piscopo. Probably most famous for being on Saturday Night Live back in the day, still out on the road at 59 years old today. But the reason we celebrate Mr. Barry Manilow, ladies and gentlemen, celebrating his birthday.
We're not celebrating.
Today.
Not like
we're celebrating.
No, you
can't. Come on. Everybody loves Barry Manilow, Kevin. You know that. Barry is 64 today in the Ralph Showbiz Beach. Blink-182, also White Stripes and STP's latest this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, that's our friend Bill Burr, ladies and gentlemen, stopping by.
What's going on, guys?
Bill Burr, very, very funny comedian, is going to be appearing at the Improv in Hollywood. That is going to be tomorrow night for one big show, two shows on Saturday, if I know that correctly, Bill. And welcome back, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm on pins and needles, big Celtics fan, and I'm...
Oh,
I don't know.
We
I was going to ask
that.
About that. I knew you were from Boston. I was going to ask if you were invested in this series.
If
big night tonight.
If we'd have known that.
To the level that I am invested...
Before we... booked you. Oh.
Come on, if I was in Boston, I'd have you on the show.
Did you know that? No.
I knew he was from Boston. I knew he was a big hockey fan.
Oh.
So what? Who would you... Isn't that kind of obvious what team I would be rooting for? I knew he was from Boston, but I'm going to go out on a limb here.
I wasn't paying attention to that. I'm just saying.
I was hoping that you elevated yourself, that you'd evolve.
Bill,
to the
let me break it down for you. Let me tell you.
That's something an LA guy would do. Go to Boston and try to assimilate, dress like a leprechaun. Hey, right? Top of the morning to you, I hear, Red.
Let me tell you what's going on here, Bill.
Halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, right. Here's what's happening is that Kevin has an look, Kevin is he's a homer. He's a sports fan for the local teams, but he loves the Lakers, and he's loved the Lakers his whole life. Even though, by the way, he should be a Suns fan based on where
I grew up in Phoenix. My mom is very upset.
But it's not just that he has respect for the Celtics. He hates them and thinks that everybody who likes them is somehow an inferior person. That's what's been...
not inferior. Inferior isn't strong enough. You're bad. You're bad.
Yeah,
bad
he's one of those sports. I see. I don't take it to that level. Like
I
if
do.
Somebody's from LA, I expect you to root for the Lakers. But I don't do that. Like if we win, you know, talking all that trash. Like you know, Celtics, bitch. Like I dumped on somebody. I don't do that. But this is how much I care. I can't watch it in a sports bar because so many morons go there. And I literally have to watch the game on mute because if I have the sound up, I'm convinced every announcer hates my team. Because
really?
Anything,
you think they're partial to the Lakers or whatever team is playing Boston?
Oh, of course. Huh. Because even if the Celtics are playing bad, like I know they're playing bad, but the second they address it, Celtics just aren't getting it done.
Comedian Bill Burr in our studio on the Kevin and Bean Show today, appearing at the Improv in Hollywood tomorrow night for one show, two shows on Saturday. By the way, Bill, I don't know if we have seen you since April Fool's, but man, you were great. And thank you again for doing that and helping us raise all that money for charity. Tremendous performance you did that night for us.
Thank you for having me. I was actually really excited to go there, being a Blues Brothers fan. You know, that live at the Universal Amphitheater. Now it's called the Gibson. That's the same theater where they did that.
Right, right.
And they opened for Steve Martin, I believe, that
wow.
night. At the height of his popularity. So as a comedian, that was pretty awesome to be... you didn't hear me say Steve Jordan on drums when I walked off?
Oh, is that why you said that?
I didn't understand who that was or what that meant. I'm sorry.
No, I've done that a couple times. I opened for Dane Cook in Madison Square Garden and... I almost said Gadden.
Yeah, you
Madison
did say
Square
Gadden.
Garden. Beat the Lakers. And I did the John Henry Bonham. Moby Dick.
Oh, that's funny. A little musical tribute. By the way,
nobody got the joke. Of course
we're not
going
to get off on this tangent because maybe Dane is a friend of yours. But if I'm Dane Cook and I know how unfunny I am, I don't invite Bill Burr.
Why?
No, I don't invite Bill Burr to come and open for
What's
me and point out
he's
to the audience.
He's a great friend of mine and he's hilarious.
He might be
and
a friend of yours.
Every hot girl in the country wants to bang him. You guys are all jealous.
That
You're
is true
jealous.
And that hurts me.
They're all
no.
jealous.
Look, there's no way you're going to change my mind on Dane Cook being funny any more than I can change your mind on him not being funny.
Why did I bring him up? This happens all the time.
You brought up the Celtics and then this.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you guys now why I'm pro-oil spill.
Pro-oil?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Joking.
That's
joking.
A unique position.
I'm joking. I was just trying to think of something else that could dig me a deeper hole.
By the way, speaking of the oil spill, which is actually more accurately an oil leak, something like this happens, and it's such a tragedy. As a comedian, you're topical. You're looking for things in the news. Really not that much funny about the oil-covered birds, is there?
No. Not really, but you could actually say, you know, if they had any brains, they didn't have a damn bird brain, they'd wring themselves out. You know? Just keep diving in the ocean, wring yourself, you get a condo out of it. You can buy your way out of this situation.
So the birds are dumb?
Yeah.
They can solve their own problem?
No, I'm not saying that. But I like how this CEO had for BP had this quote today saying, take this opportunity to apologize. We hope that over the long term that we will regain the trust that you have in us. That's like date rape speak.
Yeah.
Where it's like, how do we regain something if you already have it? It should be regain the trust that we've lost.
Yes, or
in you. But he sits there, he's doing like that regain the trust that you already have in us. He's trying to do like some subliminal stuff.
That's a salesman.
Or get trust you've never had in us. That's really the most accurate.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I also like that that England messed us up. Everybody's trashing our foreign policy and stuff we do around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, at least we didn't light the ocean on fire.
Good point.
That.
point.
Way to go, England.
That's true. It's the first time in history that that the ocean's actually been lit on fire. I like that. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, they actually, now they what happened in Cleveland look childish.
Oh, when the river caught on fire, the Cuyahoga, yeah. It has been a public relations disaster, though. I mean, it does seem like every time somebody from BP gets on that television, they just somehow figure out a way to either insult the people who are affected by the oil spill or just make it look even more like they have no idea what they're doing.
Don't they have PR people who, like, have sessions with them and say, look, here's how to handle it.
They're coming up with brilliant stuff like, it's just the Gulf.
I love that fake BP PR account that somebody created on Twitter, too, a guy who just every day is posting stuff that makes BP look so bad. And BP is furious about it, and they want him to take it down.
Oh, you mean he's posting it as if it's them?
As if it's them, Although it's clearly fake. He's trying to make them look bad, and it's almost hard to parody them. And it's just driving them crazy because they can't really come down too heavy on this guy because this guy, you know, feels the same way everybody else does, which is they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
But well, I like that new commercial they have where they're helping the little guy. And they got that guy down in New Orleans, and the entire time he's talking about how great BP is, there's no shots of the ocean, the Gulf, or anything. You know?
Yeah, we don't want to remind you of that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's like in a pizza parlor. Right. These guys at BP are great. They're really helping me out. They host off me and my dog. They're fantastic. Where's the ocean?
Before you go, you have a podcast now on iTunes. I did not know about that until today. What's going on? What's your Monday morning podcast deal?
Monday morning podcast is a podcast I do every Monday. My listeners send me questions. They send me lists of underrated, overrated stuff, and I just sort of go off on things. And it's just something I started doing on Monday because I remember back in the day when I had a day job that I hated, Mondays were the worst.
Yeah.
So I just do it on Monday, give it, give people something to laugh at. And
that's awesome. So it's like free comedy for them.
Yeah, and I whore myself out, you know, tell them where I'm going to be performing at, try to get them to buy my DVDs and refrigerator magnets and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, refrigerator magnets. That's cool. I didn't know that. I want one.
You can go to iTunes and look for Bill Burr or the Monday Morning Podcast if you want to get that. So you do it in every single week, new episode every Monday?
Yep, every episode every Monday, and I've been doing it since 2007, so there's plenty of backlog. Yeah, I get people, they download them, they listen to them on flights when they jog, you know, doing cardio, and, you know, at work when they should be working. Yeah, so it's been great.
And look for Bill Burr at the Improv in Hollywood. One big show tomorrow night at 8, and then two shows on Saturday. Go to improv.com. It's always great to have you on the show, man. And, you know, good luck with dealing with the Celtics loss tonight. I know that's going to be hard for you, but there's always next year.
Please. All right.
No, it's not next year for the Celtics.
You know what? I'm calling in. I'm calling
in tomorrow?
When we win. Yeah.
All right. Depends on what happens. We might take your call. We might not.
I might oversleep if we lose.
I know the Lakers will be tired after the game tonight. I know the Celtics will be tired after the game tonight, but neither of them compare to our friend Jimmy Kimmel Live, who has been working double duty ever since the NBA Finals began on ABC, doing two shows a night, one right after the game tonight with Danny DeVito and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then, of course, the regular late-night Jimmy Kimmel Live show will air at midnight. Jimmy joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, James, how are you, man?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
We're big fans of your work. I don't think we've ever had the opportunity to have you on the show before, kind of a thrill.
Yeah, it's so. I can't believe we've never spoken before.
I know. It's so weird.
Finally, talk to you guys.
It seems like our paths would cross.
Jim, how do you find a guy like Ricardo, the busboy at Barney's Beatery, the world's best Papa Shot player? Where did he come from?
He came from Arizona. They kicked him out and came here. No, he's just, you know, he's just a busboy at Barney's. And
how did you become aware of him?
Yeah,
one of our writers was there and saw him popping shots. I don't know if he spends all his money on the Papa Shot machine or if they give him the key to the thing or what. But
I think he's like Rain Man. Gotta play Papa Shot.
He just pops. I mean, it really is crazy. So, none of these guys were prepared for how. Unbelievably good.
You didn't tell the NBA superstars how great he was?
No, we didn't. That's funny. We didn't tip him off. You'd think, though, they would go like, okay, well, why am I playing this tiny little Mexican guy?
Of course. So you had Lamar Odom, Charles Barkley, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and Kobe Bryant, and he played them in Papa Shot, and not only beat all of them, but just about doubled all of them.
Wow.
We were trying to figure out a way for him to play two of them at once. But we realized that he'd actually score fewer points with two guys on the Papa Shot machine.
Yeah, that's true.
And what's fascinating, and by the way, we put all of these videos, every single player that Kevin just named, you can see at kevinamine.com on our website if you want to see this Papa Shot Challenge, and then we'll find out what's up for tonight. But what's fascinating for me is you can tell that the players aren't excited about being there at the beginning. It's like Kobe's like, all right, this is another promotional obligation. I got to do this stupid bit for ABC. And then about 10 seconds in, he's watching Ricardo. And his eyes start to get wider. Yeah. And then about 20 seconds in, he starts laughing. And then at the end of it, he's like hugging and high-fiving the dude. He's like, I can't believe what I just saw. I mean, they really are blown away by it.
Yeah, they it's funny because you would think that NBA player, I think I could have beaten any of those guys at Papa Shot.
No, they weren't that bad. They're in the 40s.
Yeah, they're in the 40s, but I mean, come on now. I mean, like, what Carmelo Anthony appeared to be shooting underwater.
You did say that. Yeah, he was terrible.
I don't know if he was baked or what was going on, but he was bad.
He looked like he was covered in honey and was barely able to move.
Now, Kobe, though, I was really impressed with because I spent, it's weird, I've been really enjoying it this past week, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about how, well, the basketball players are not used to playing with that size ball. They don't ever play Papa Shot, probably. Right. They're not used to that distance and that hoop, so clearly Ricardo has an advantage in that respect, but they also are professional athletes who have phenomenal eye-hand coordination. So
and
I expect.
Let's not forget Black.
Yeah, well, what's that? Let's not forget that.
I expect them to be good, but Kobe, for instance, I mean, Kobe was dynamite. He was really, really good at Papa Shot, and that surprised me.
Why would that surprise you?
Yeah, that's, I don't understand that.
Because I don't imagine
Tiger Woods is really good at miniature golf.
Because they never play it.
It went right in the windmill.
Now, I like it when Kobe blocked the guy's shot.
Yeah.
He blocked his shot, and the dude still got like 72 or 80 points. It was ridiculous.
Right. Now, is your little Mexican friend Guillermo getting nervous that now you have moved on to a new plaything who calls you Yimmy? Because it seems like Guillermo's job would be in jeopardy if this Ricardo thing catches on.
Can I tell you something? Guillermo's been sneaking out at night to practice shooting little basketballs. He doesn't have a Papa Shot machine, but he took a hanger and he stretched it and stapled it to his wall.
So what happens tonight? This will be, I imagine, the final Papa Shot Challenge. Are you going to do it again, or did you end it last time after you gave him the new car?
We ended it. We gave him that Ford, and that was it. Although tonight we have Kareem and Danny DeVito on, and we're trying to get Kareem to shoot Danny DeVito through a little hoop.
Shortest guy in the world, tallest guy in the world. That's going to be great. I hope they come out together.
I'm excited about it. You know, I have to say I wasn't excited about a seven-game series because that meant we had to do seven shows, and everyone at the show was like, oh, God.
Right.
Goddamn show. But, you know, I'm a Lakers fan, and, you know, Phil Jackson has 10 rings.
Yeah.
And did you see what he said this morning?
No, I did not.
No.
If they win tonight, he's going to put the 11th one on his penis. And he's planning to do it on the show.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I hope
that
happens.
Jimmy, what about your friend Bill Simmons, who's a hardcore, the ESPN sports guy, who's a hardcore Celtics fan? Have you guys been watching any of these games together? Has there been a lot of trash talking?
No, Bill's very busy blogging during his game, so it's tough for him to look up and actually see the television set. I get crazy because I honestly believe that this series has been largely fixed by the officials. I never was one of these guys that bought into that, but I really think that Game 2 and Game 5 were purely designed to make sure this series went seven.
So you're saying the refs helped the Celtics win both those games, right?
Oh, I mean, really, some of the calls and some of the non-calls, and you can't even say anything about this because everyone bothers me. Oh, you're just crying because look at how many free throws they shot comparison. It's like, yeah, that's because the Celtics are constantly hacking. That's why there's disparity in the free throws.
Well, I did think that the refs were bad early, but I thought they were bad on both sides. They would call a foul on the Celtics even, and I would go, that's not a foul.
They are bad on both sides, but what they do is, like, you see, like, in Game 5, where it started to get the Lakers, it started to get out of hand. The Lakers were down by 10 points, and there were 2 minutes left in the game. And all of a sudden, there are no more fouls called on the Lakers because they're just trying to keep it as even as possible, you know? And it just made me crazy. I really was like...
Do you think our government was in on 9/11?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I am not.
I'm just seeing how far this goes.
I am not a conspiracy theorist. But in this particular case, I really felt like... I mean, I really do feel like the Lakers are a much better team than the Celtics. And the fact that it's gone to seven games is not because they're even as far as skill and play goes. I think it's because they wanted it to be that way.
But how can you say that when... I forget which game it was when the Celtics bench came out. They were... They were on fire.
Well, I'm not saying that the Celtics bench is, you know, that there are no good players on the Celtics or they're terrible. But you can, when Kobe has to sit out the whole third quarter because he's in foul trouble for two fouls that he didn't even make physical contact with when he was on. You know, it's just, you just go, all right, well, who's this, you know, why are we even watching these games at a certain point?
We are talking to Jimmy Kimmel on the program right now. He has a game night special airing right after the game tonight. After Lakers-Celtics game, you'll see Jimmy's special tonight, and then he'll come back for another show at the end. By the way, you're so famous now that you can't take... See, Kevin and I are anonymous still. We can go out and get ourselves a TV in the event of a Laker win and a riot tonight. You probably have to not do stuff like that anymore, right, Jimmy?
Well, that's why I have my Ronald Reagan mask.
Oh, good.
You know?
Good, because I have a list going here, and I was going to take down what you want.
Have you guys seen that Clippers commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it the best?
It is the best.
Because, I mean, they really, I have to say, I'm so proud of the Clippers because when I was doing sports there, I'd make fun of them pretty much every day.
Right, right.
And I thought, well, eventually things are going to change and they're going to, you know, whatever, maybe they'll get good and we won't be able to make these jokes anymore. But it seems that we are going to be able to make these jokes until all of us are dead.
You know what? It's as long as he owns the team.
Donald
Sterling is a horrible owner.
They built a whole campaign around a player who didn't play one game last year.
Yes, that's their first round draft pick.
Swimming. They basically showed him doing rehab in the commercial.
And they play it during the Lakers-Celtics. And you go, that takes guts.
The slogan, you haven't seen anything yet. No truer advertising slogan has ever been presented to the viewing public.
Especially from Blake, or what's his name, Blake?
Yeah, Blake Griffin.
Because he hasn't played.
Awesome. All right, Jimmy. We are out of time. Thank you for squeezing us in. We know how crazy busy you are this week, but these primetime specials have really, really been a lot of fun, and I love that you did that with the Papa Shot.
Well,
it was awesome,
you.
Dude.
If you like them so far, you haven't seen anything yet.
That's what we hear.
That's what I understand.
You have Blake Griffin on?
What's that?
You have Blake Griffin on tonight?
No, he's swimming.
Okay. All right, Jimmy.
It's coming next month, the return of the King Kong attraction at Universal Studios Hollywood. You remember it burned up a couple years ago and is back and bigger than ever before. The all-new King Kong 360 3D attraction. If you want to ride it in a private tram tour with our own Psycho Mike, we can hook you up with that. Call right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call right now on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 856.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is on vacation. It's a pre-scheduled vacation. Everything is great.
All good.
Alex is here to fill in for the showbiz beat this hour.
Woo! Don't bogart.
Nope.
That's tomorrow.
It's got to be over.
It is not yet.
I want to be Cameron Diaz's travel agent.
Cameron Diaz?
Yep. Yeah. She's a woman after my own heart. She just did a recent interview with Playboy magazine. And she talks about traveling for love. And she says, oh gosh, I can't even count how many times I've gotten on a plane for love. It's not unusual in this business. My lifestyle demands it. I'm always traveling for, C word, you've got to go where it is.
All right.
Whoa. She is a woman after my own heart.
Nice.
Traveling for C.
Who's your whore? Who's your whore?
Wow.
By the way, you terrified me for just a moment when you put Cameron Diaz and Playboy in the same sentence. I was horrified where that interview might be going. So an interview is fine.
Yep. Interview with her clothes on. Tori Spelling has officially lost it.
Really? It's official?
Oh, yeah. It's official. Because she recently revealed that she heard from Farrah Fawcett.
What?
I don't know if people remember, but Farrah Fawcett has passed away.
She heard from her?
Yep. Apparently, Tori went to go visit a medium and have a psychic reading.
Yes.
And Tori says, I was talking to the medium and I was hoping to connect with my dad, Aaron Spelling. However, Farrah Fawcett came through loud and clear. It was really awkward for the medium as well. He's like, I've never had this happen before.
Oh, God.
Wait.
Yeah, no, it gets better. So, yes. So she's sitting there trying to talk to her dad from heaven. Farrah comes through. And apparently Farrah told Tori Spelling she wanted to give a message to her family about how she was doing and what was going on. So naturally, Tori Spelling writes a letter to Ryan O'Neill detailing the experience he had with the medium and everything Farrah wanted to tell him and her son, Redmond. But Tori's kind of sad because she says, I haven't heard back from Ryan, so I don't know, you know, I'm hoping, you know, he understands what I was trying to say and doesn't think I'm loony. No,
Tori, why would he think a letter from a former 90210 actress dictating his dead wife's words from heaven would be loony? That's completely reasonable.
Look, that's a terrible idea.
Is it possible that she could have rolled over and handed the phone to Mr. Spelling? Is that possible?
That could have happened, but it didn't.
Maybe it's the right room.
But I think
it's the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah, I think her boob job has officially leaked into her brain. That's what I think has happened.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson is also a woman after my own heart. We go from Cammy Diaz, who travels for sea, to Kate Hudson, who is possibly banging Muse frontman Matt Bellamy.
Yeah.
The pair have been photographed together walking the streets of New York and hung out after a show in London recently. And, of course, you know, if two celebrities hang out, they have to be sleeping together.
She likes the rock stars, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But Kate, I love, because she's already tapped Owen Wilson, A-Rod, dirty rocker ex-husband from the Black Crowes, and Lance Armstrong.
Sure.
Live strong, Kate.
Yeah,
live strong.
She does.
Love her. Air high five. Bam Margera is slowly recovering from a brutal attack by a 59-year-old badass woman with a baseball bat.
Wow. 59.
Crazy.
Yeah, grandma came after Bam Margera. The real-life jackass told AbsoluteNow.com that the 59-year-old lady who cracked him over the head with a baseball bat apparently has some serious mental problems.
Really?
He claims the woman is bitter about him, his bar being a neighbor to her home. Doesn't like the loud noise at night and apparently has a history of angry behavior. Apparently, well, don't move next to a bar, lady.
It's possible the bar moved next to her, but there has to be other options besides
call
the baseball
cops.
Bat.
Yeah, apparently this woman has threatened to kill him, his wife Missy. She's punched him in the face previously and insinuated she'd burn his bar down. So I think Bam should have called the cops first.
Perhaps
on her.
There's been a problem for a long time.
But I didn't realize how bad his injuries were. He had internal bleeding in the brain for 2 days in the hospital.
It was pretty serious. When you get hit with a bat in the head,
that's not good.
That does not help your head.
Yeah. And finally, Katy Perry and Russell Brand, who I think I love both equally. It's hard for me to pick one now.
They're an awesome couple.
They are an awesome couple, and I never thought I'd say that because she's so hot.
But they got matching tattoos.
And he's so not.
And I don't know about the matching tattoo thing as a couple.
You think it's like a curse,
it's a bad
maybe?
Omen. Yeah, it's a curse.
I do, and I love them together. But at least they got something really simple and easy. Oh, wait. They both got matching tattoos under their right arm. I'm going to screw this up, but it's, you pronounce it, Anugachati Pravaha.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
But rolls off the tongue, which means
in their defense,
go with the
though,
flow.
It's a tattoo that stands independently and isn't necessarily something to do with the other person. So even if they do break up, they've still got a tattoo they like, probably.
True.
Yeah, go with the flow isn't so like nice. Names.
Right, exactly.
Unless her name is Flo, and she's from the...
left the celebrity birthdays in the office. So I'm just going to say happy birthday to everybody who's born today. Yay. Congratulations to you and your loved ones.
Nicely done.
Go have a shot. I'm Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday, the day we always look forward to because we get to catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, host of Love Line and all those TV shows on VH1. And he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, how are you, Doc?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Doing great. One of the things I wanted to ask you about today, and it's always awesome that now we have a doctor on staff that we can run our questions by, I saw the report yesterday that Brooke Mueller, Charlie Sheen's soon-to-be ex-wife, is going into rehab again. She's been multiple times for multiple reasons, but this one was new to me. They said she was going in for stress management. Yeah. Have you ever heard of something like that?
It's still bizarre being that you would even sort of pose the question that way, which is that rehab is not a word that has any meaning. And yet somehow, really, it has no clinical meaning. And yet rehab is something that people toss around in the press as though they know what they're talking about. Rehab can either be a psychiatric hospital, a freestanding unit like Promises or Pasadena Recovery Center, or it can be outpatient programs or various, you know, sober living variations on that theme. A rehab program for chemical dependency is separate from treatment of psychiatric conditions of any kind. It's just treating chemical dependency. So if somebody says they're going in for stress or for depression or suicidality, that has absolutely nothing to do with rehab. That's a psychiatric hospitalization.
Oh.
So we really don't know what's going on with Brooke. We really don't. I mean, I've met Brooke. She's a very nice woman. She's committed to her sobriety. It'd be hard for me to believe that it would have anything to do with her using. And, you know, Mike will tell you this, by the way. Early in sobriety, it's a rocky time, and people have all kinds of emotional situations. And so the reality is, if she's going in for a psychiatric treatment, good. That's what she should do to take care of herself. It's, she shouldn't have to apologize for that.
No, no, certainly not. But I guess my question is, so they go hand in hand. They're not the same thing, but they go hand in hand. So somebody in a situation like Brooke Mueller, and we're just assuming now based on press reports, she might say, look, I'm in an extremely stressful period of my life right now because I'm very close to getting a divorce, and I've got to work, you know, deal with all that issues with court and child custody and visitation. I'm afraid that I may lapse because I'm feeling vulnerable right now, so I'm going to go get some help for that. Is that what's going on?
Well, it's even a little more explicit. Like, I, because I'm so vulnerable, I'm early in recovery. This threatens my sobriety. I'm really depressed. I'm not sleeping. I'm having panic attacks. And a doctor goes, you know, let's put you in the hospital for 5 days, figure out a medical regimen that'll work for you, and then you go home. And that happens a lot early in recovery.
So they put you in the hospital and they give you something that will even out your...
Well, it depends what the... stress is not a diagnosis. That's
right.
A condition that creates a diagnosis.
Right.
But, you know, whatever her diagnosis might be. Mike, back me up on this.
Well,
there?
No, early on in sobriety...
Yeah, he's learned not to listen to you.
I talk when you guys are around.
Early on in sobriety, Dr. Drew's exactly right. Chemically and hormonally, there's so many things going on that you just don't understand because you've gotten so accustomed to having these drugs or the booze in your body that it can be a very, very demanding time on you.
Yeah.
Psychiatrically.
All right. Speaking of Psycho Mike, who you forced into the conversation, we do everything we can to keep him off the air on this show,
that,
Dr. Drew.
We
do.
Yeah, we try.
Believe me, we do. You get enough of him on your show, I would hope. But he turns you on to the Magic of the Human Centipede, which is my favorite movie of 2010. How feasible? You're a doctor. You've done surgery in your life, I'm sure. How feasible is that operation, and can we find someone to do it?
Well, first, for the three of you, or what?
No, I want the front. I want the front. I get front. Dibs.
First of all, I want to say that my dream in life right now is to do some sort of parody on the centipede and be the surgeon.
All right.
There he is.
Wow. You know what's funny about
that,
Dr.
happen?
What's funny about that is that we brought up that idea. And we said we should have Dr. Drew do it. And then our immediate response was, no way will he do that.
It's the goal of my life.
All right.
You guys don't know me.
We can make that happen.
That's number one. Number two, it's just ridiculous. I mean, come on. It's
ridiculously great?
It's great, but it's ridiculous.
Well, I haven't seen it yet. Do they make them fetch? Do they throw a tennis ball and make them fetch?
No, they fetch the paper.
Okay.
Now, wait. What's ridiculous about it? Just the way the guy kind of re-threads the digestive tracts? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, the fact that people could live off other people's stool.
I don't think anybody's
live a long time.
Yeah, nobody's saying that they live a long and happy life as a result of that.
I have
get poisoned.
I have a more important question. That's how do they breathe?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
the same thing myself. It just, there's so many aspects to it that are just nonsense.
So you said aspects.
Yeah. Kevin, you breathe through your nose is how you do it. Your mouth is tied up. Your mouth is bandaged. It's surgically connected to somebody's butt, but you can still breathe through your nose.
Wow. Well, you better not get a stuffed up nose.
Yeah. Don't spoil this with reality. Stop it. Come on.
So you want to do that in real life, you're saying?
No. I'm just saying I want to play him on a parody.
Done.
I'm ready to be the surgeon.
Done.
We will totally do that. Now, who should you be performing surgery on? Do we need to find celebrities to be part of your human centipede, Doc?
That would be a dream come true. I thought I'd approach Kimmel. He has a lot of access.
Sure.
He does, and he's very obsessed with that part of his body.
All
so
right.
He would probably want to be a part of it.
I'm going to email Jimmy right now and see if we can hook that up. That's going to be awesome. All right, last question for you. How much is Psycho Mike driving you crazy on the love line, counting down the hours until Marissa Miller is in as a guest next week?
Yeah, I knew her name would come up here. I mean,
yeah.
Just driving me crazy with her in general.
Yeah, well,
we have to open every evening with looking at pictures of her.
And that's not bad. You say that like it's bad.
No, it's lovely, but it's a little crazy making.
Yeah. But you're such a sellout, and how you have to forced to start every night with it. You're drooling more than I am. You're more obsessed with pictures ever than I am.
What?
I love having the insight into Dr. Drew. We've never had that before.
All right. Don't miss Loveline, the beautiful nationally syndicated program airing Sunday through Thursday all across this great country of ours. Check your local listings. Dr. Drew Pinsky, always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Mike, see you tonight with Adam
Scott, right?
Adam Scott. Exactly.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. Bye.
Had just about an ass full of this Twilight. It's coming back. 2 weeks from yesterday, the new Twilight Eclipse movie opens up. You're still a Twitard, Lisa. You're still on board,
I am.
Right?
I'm in because I've read all the books. And,
right.
And, yeah.
I like
I'm going to see this series through to the end.
I like it marginally because I love vampire movies.
Right.
But here,
yeah, it is a good story.
It's kind of Disney-fied for me for vampire
movies.
Here
my whole thing. Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart are the worst movie stars ever because they're terrible at acting And they're terrible at everything else that doesn't involve acting. Being, you know, doing the interviews and doing the press and, you know, being on the talk shows and stuff like that. They're both so low energy that you feel like they hate being there and you're wasting their time by supporting their movie. And that just really rubs me the wrong way.
They both do complain a lot for somebody who have just become stars.
And who are right. the luckiest yeah. people
right.
in the
world.
The
luckiest people in the
Especially
world, exactly.
Her,
so
Robert
Pattinson did an interview with GQ. The April GQ, and mm-hmm. he says that he was so nervous when he was going to try out for Twilight that the only thing that helped him was Valium.
Oh.
And he believes that because he took Valium that calmed him down enough that he got the job.
No kidding.
Well, yes. He looks like he's been sleepwalking ever since. Maybe it's time to pull back a little bit on that prescription.
How about a little less Valium? And don't share any with Kristen.
She doesn't need
it. She needs the she needs meth. You both need meth.
We're lucky enough to have developed a little bit of a relationship with Rob Pattinson. He's on the show from time to time. Unfortunately, he can't be in studio with us because he's traveling to promote the new Twilight film, but he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Robert, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Sorry, I couldn't come into studio, but like you said, I got some press and promo stuff to do.
Yeah, right. I understand. Yeah, you're busy. Yeah, if you could speak up a little, though, just so we can make out what you're saying. So you're often accusing the press of misquoting you. Is this quote accurate that you got the job, you auditioned on Valium, and that's the secret to your success in Twilight?
No, exactly. I was so scared. I was so high strung before I went in for that audition, and you know, you guys know me a little bit. I'm very high energy.
You're not.
And sometimes it's off-putting to people. They think I'm kind of like a live wire. So
you've never struck us
before the audition to kind of calm my nerves.
Hey Robert,
in fact, I'm all this flying and traveling around. I took a Valium about an hour ago in preparation for this interview.
Okay.
I hope you guys
Robert? Robert? Hey, Robert! Robert!
Well, Team Edward!
What?
Did you doze off there in the middle of a sentence?
I must have.
Yeah.
It's odd because usually I'm like a crack addict. I'm jumping off walls.
I've never seen you that way.
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. But right now, I do feel kind of fidgety. If you guys excuse me, I need to calm myself down.
Uh-oh. You were calling out hot. You don't need pot, Robert.
Robert?
Hello?
Okay, the last thing he needs is marijuana.
Robert? Robert?
Werewolf boy.
I'm sorry, what?
What'd you say?
Did you say little boy?
What? I'm sorry, did I nod off?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, you're
shocking.
You're taking enough downers. I don't think you...
No, I just right now I feel edgy.
You don't sound
you don't
edgy.
Edgy.
I don't
know. You're barely awake.
I happen to have some ether right here.
Hold on. No, not ether. No!
Okay, this isn't going to help.
This is not what you need.
No.
That's
you
a lot.
You need like a cup of strong coffee or something.
Hey, Robert?
Maybe some caffeine pills, not ether.
That's a lot.
Robert? You're we lost him again. Damn it.
Robert.
Robert. Robert.
Jacob sucks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ presenting Silver Sun Pickups and Against Me August 6th at the Greek Theater. Keep listening to score tickets to the show. Plus at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. you can instantly win a trip to Las Vegas to see Silver Sun Pickups and hang with the band at our private pool party at the Monte Carlo Resort and Casino.
Nice.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
So keep listening for that on the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:41.
Time for one final look at the show biz beat in for Ralph Garman. It's us, Kevin and Bean, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I love this story so much because the Bieber fever, as you know, just like the Twilight fever we were talking a few minutes ago, completely out of control. But this is a pretty funny story. Maryland police were called in Ocean City to a bar the other night because they had several reports from people inside the bar saying, oh my God, you've got to come down here. Justin Bieber is here and he's drinking. This is wrong. The kid's 16 years old. He shouldn't be in this bar. He certainly shouldn't be drinking, so please come check it out. So the cops show up, and sure enough, it looks like Justin Bieber's in the bar drinking. Until, wait, she pulls out her ID, and it turns out she's 27 years old. Her name is Katie.
What an ugly 27-year-old woman.
No,
she just looks like your typical Justin Bieber. You know that website, Lesbians Who Look Like Justin Bieber? Well, she could be on the site. The bar is called The Mug and Mallet in Ocean City, Maryland. Again, she's 27 years old. She did show her ID to prove that she wasn't Justin Bieber. She says she gets mistaken for the singer all the time. And she really, she has the exact same body as Justin Bieber. His boobs may be bigger, but it's close, and the exact same ridiculous haircut. So, very, very funny, by the way. I'm sure everybody had a good laugh.
You know how bands, when they are super popular, they play huge venues, arenas. Mm-hmm. And then as they get less popular, they go down to the indoor places, and then they go to the smaller clubs.
Then they're playing Indian casinos.
Right, then they're playing Indian casinos, and then they're at state fairs.
Right, state fairs.
I don't know that I've ever seen a band go this far down, though. I was driving in Los Angeles, and I saw a sign out at a park. It was literally a park, and it said, Wang Chung tomorrow night. It wasn't a park. It was like a slab of grass. And it was really just sad. It was like the divider in the middle of the road with a little grass.
Oh, man.
I didn't know you could go that small. They're playing parks.
Wow.
So everybody's going to Wang Chung tonight?
No. Nope.
They're not?
Not at the park.
Yeah.
That's sad. Well, in the category of whatever happened to, they're still out there.
God bless them.
Playing the parks. Nobody wants to see them anyplace else.
Free.
Free.
Oh, at least it's free.
That's
right?
A park.
They can't charge.
Have to be.
Yeah. That's bad.
Well... It finally happened. Harrison Ford woke up long enough to say, I do, after 8 years.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
We're not sure. We got to go back to the tape and get a transcript, get some experts in to see what he was trying to say. But after 8 years together and after adopting a child together back in, I guess she adopted the kid in 2001. They got together just after that. Is that right, Lisa? Is that how it worked?
Yes.
So Harrison Ford has basically been raising this child as the kid's father ever since. But they finally decided to get married yesterday afternoon in New Mexico. Harrison Ford was in that state working on a film. And they had the governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson, a guy that we've had on the Kevin and Bean Show as a guest, by the way. He did the honors and made them man and wife yesterday, so they are official. No word as to why. I mean, they seemed like one of those couples that was pretty happy to not be married and still be together.
They were together for, 9 years, did you say?
Eight
yeah, something like that.
And
yeah.
Engaged for two.
But they did decide to finally make that legal. So.
They're screwed.
Congratulations,
curse,
I guess.
Right? I mean,
it often is.
It seems like the couples that are together for a long time unmarried, once they get married, it's all downhill for them. I don't know why.
Just imagine how frustrating it must be for Calista Flockhart, though. I mean, Harrison Ford is not a guy that you can talk to without looking at, because you can't ever hear anything that he says. I mean, she can't, like, call to him from the kitchen or something like that.
That's true.
That'd be a lot of work
She also probably thought he'd be gone by now, and she'd be on her own with a lot of cash.
Right.
And that's not happening.
Yeah.
He's living.
By the way, for the record, he is 66. She is 44.
Yeah. Right. Lindsay Lohan found a new personal assistant. We were having a conversation about this off the air. Is it a gay guy or is it a dude that wants to sleep with her? It has to be one or the other.
Yeah, it does.
Don't you think? Apparently she hired a man. He was spotted driving her home from the Chateau Marmont on Tuesday night. And apparently she was working on her pink iPad in the back seat, but he was driving.
What is she even doing there with that thing on her ankle still?
What
does she go do?
Oh, it hasn't slowed her down at all.
I don't know.
She's still going to all the parties.
Wow. That's
right?
Crazy.
I don't know. I mean, it went off that one time, but we were talking to Dr. Drew, and he said it's difficult to prove why.
Yeah.
You know, it can be from fumes
alcohol
in the room or whatever.
Vapors.
And listen, there's alcohol vapors all around her. Still coming from, like, past drinking. But anyway, she found a sucker.
Yeah.
He's on the hook now 24/7. And he's going to have to put her socks on and all that kind of stuff.
We'll
that's
see
not a,
how long he lasts.
That's not a gig.
Ordinarily, I would feel bad for that guy, but he is a ginger, so really, he pretty much deserves it, right?
I'm red hair. I have red hair. I got red hair, and I'm proud of it.
I got an iPad story also, by the way. According to PerezHilton.com, Oprah Winfrey stopped by the Hearst headquarters. That's the company that's behind publishing her O magazine. They just celebrated their 10-year wedding anniversary. Wedding anniversary, listen to me, 10-year anniversary of publishing the magazine. Oh, so she stopped by to say hi to the employees, and she brought everyone on the staff a brand new iPad, complete with an engraved leather case, and along with that, a check for $10,000 for each person on the staff.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah,
that's
Oprah Winfrey is not like us.
Well, no, in a lot of ways. I mean, it's not all good. I don't want to be Oprah. You know why?
I've gained weight.
That's why. All the money in the world can't make you skinny, apparently.
And you'd have to make out with Gail, and no one wants that.
That's true. That's a good point. Did we mention, I always lose track of these stories, what we talk about on the air and what we talk about off the air. Did we mention that Justin Timberlake is going to be on Glee?
No, we have not talked about that yet.
Not his music. Him.
No.
He's going to play like a substitute teacher or something.
No, he's a good actor.
Yeah, I think so too.
Miss Cleo cannot tolerate that. She loves Glee as is. She loves Timberlake so much as
her head will explode.
Yeah, it's too much.
And by the way, I heard that he's going to be playing Mr. Schuster's younger brother, which is great casting because they look identical to each other.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that is really perfect casting.
That's
true. One more story, and this one I can't believe we haven't gotten to either yet today. Jeremy London is the actor. He's probably best known for Party of Five, but he's been on a bunch of other TV shows and movies. He's had some drug and alcohol problems over the years. I think he's been through a rehab. Well, he claims to have been kidnapped last week by two men who stopped to help him change a tire. He says that they kidnapped him and forced him to smoke crack and buy alcohol. Listen to this.
If you want to live, you'll smoke this crack.
I know. Like, seriously, who forces somebody else to smoke crack? I mean, especially if you're into crack, you don't give it away to some guy that you've kidnapped, right?
I hear crack is whack.
This doesn't make any sense at all. He told officers during the kidnapping that he was forced to smoke dope and then purchase booze and hand it out in a gang area of Palm Springs. This, according to the police, by the way, in an interview with RadarOnline.com. He escaped around 3 o'clock the next morning. It just sounds like one of those deals with, all right, I just fell off the wagon. I just used tons of drugs. Right. And got ways. What kind of a story can I make up?
Oh, I got kidnapped and they made me do it all.
And the first thing I thought is he probably made up the whole story. But then as I continued to read the article, this interview with this police officer, Sergeant Douglas, he says that two men were charged Wednesday with the kidnapping.
What?
So I don't know whether how I think there's more to this story that meets the eye at this point. But it certainly seems unlikely to me.
What are the chances?
What are the chances?
It would be awesome, though, if the dude is literally sober and got kidnapped and forced to smoke crack. That might be the first time it's ever happened.
I am going to keep that defense in mind, though.
Me too.
You know what? I was having sex with that woman. How could I not? They threatened to kill me if I didn't.
They had a gun to my head.
What could I do? I was being kidnapped. Anyway, that's an awesome story. Today's celebrity birthdays, how about Greg Kinnear? Very fine actor, Oscar-nominated, 47 years old today. Probably first came onto our radar as the host of The Soup way back in the day. Thomas Hayden Church, you love him on the TV shows and in the movies. He is 50 nice. Today. Venus Williams turns 30. Speed 2 star Jason Patrick, 44. Comedian Joe Piscopo is 59. And Barry Manilow. Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Manilow, currently in residence in Las Vegas with an all-new show, turns 64
Rock
today.
And roll!
Yeah, that is the Ralph Show Bisbee.
You hear the excitement being had with that?
I love Barry so much.
Yeah, I know. Stop it, though, I'm saying. This is the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have the Movie Beat, as it is Friday. We have David Alan Greer in studio. We are going to get a call, I believe, back from Bill Burr, who's a huge Celtics fan.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow.
I don't know who's going to be in a bad mood, but one of us is. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Now, are you going to take his call since you're a baby about this series? If Celtics win and he calls in, are you going to just not want to talk to him?
Hold on.
I'd like to say, that might happen.
Let me defend Kevin here.
Thank you.
He's not the one being a baby in the situation. It's Simmons. It's stupid Bill Simmons. We'll call him. Kevin's being mature.
Yeah, it's tough, Bean. I don't want to talk to a Celtic fan if we lose. No.
Okay.
So I can't predict my behavior, but I could guess, based on past behavior, that it will be immature.
Will you feel better if you're able to get yourself a TV if there's a ride
yes.
after the game?
Yes.
All right.
But it has to be 3D. So I got to find like a Best Buy or someplace to loot. And also John C. Reilly, who's one of the stars of Cyrus.
I love him.
On tomorrow's show as well. That's tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't know why the hole has to be super massive or black, but we'll be playing some Muse coming up as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock Music. Also Nirvana, the new one from Brandon Flowers of the Killers called Crossfire, Green Day, Slightly Stupid, and more. Stick around. Cat Corbett right after this on K-Rock.